The following cast contains rude, crude, and disgusting language. You can leave now, but I wouldn't.
No. Ladies and gentlemen. Folks.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you fucking nerds? I'm Kevy Metal.
And I'm Matty Studios.
And you're listening to Heavy Meta.
Not only are you listening to Heavy Meta, but you're listening to the brand new and improved audio quality Heavy Meta.
That's right.
We're talking upgrade, motherfucker.
It's all accidental upgrades. Like, my laptop broke, so I had to buy a new one, and your fucking headset broke, so you had to buy a new one.
Yeah. It was kind of like we were meaning to upgrade, but you never really want to upgrade. And then last night I was like, all right, we're going to play some modern games. And I went to grab my headset and I put it on my head and then it just cracked in two pieces. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm trying to put it back together, and there's no sound, there's nothing. And I'm like, fuck. And then I threw it against the wall, and then it was dead. So
you just take one half of it and duct tape it to your head.
Yeah, I was like, if the mic works, I'll just hold one part of the earphone to my head. But no, unfortunately, it served me well for 2 years, and It is now lying in pieces in the backyard. So
that is honestly the best thing that you can do. When electronic equipment finally fails you and lets you down, like, the best burial for it is to just smash it to pieces.
It is. It's the best stress relief ever. I remember when I first started a long time ago, we had this fax machine, worst piece of shit that someone gave us to start the business with, and it never worked, and the keys were all wrong. You dial 8 and it would put a 6. It was just the worst. Yeah, literally it was the worst thing. But my business partner's like, we don't have the money. You can't wreck the machine. Don't wreck this machine, right? And so one night me and my buddy were up, because we would work 18-hour days, right? Like, it was hard, yeah. Right? So we'd be there at like 2 in the morning, and I'm like, man, I got to fax this thing to California, and I'm trying to fax it, and it's not working. And my cousin was there, and he had a video camera because he was, like, filming skateboarding and shit. And he's like, hey, I'll film this. Yeah, what do you know? And I'm like, well, what are you going to film? He's like, man, he goes, you look really stressed. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, that machine, it's calling you a piece of shit. He goes, it's calling you a piece of shit. And I'm like, it is? And so literally I just took it and I shock putted it down the hallway. and there were there literally the whole building was empty except for this one floor. There was this company of like 6 women, and they were at the other end of the hall, right? And I thought it's 2 in the morning. I thought there's nobody in the building, and I chuck this thing down the hallway. It hits, explodes to 1,000 pieces, and this girl runs out of the hallway. And I'm like, oh, sorry. Oh, it's fucking hilarious, man.
That totally reminds me of when, like, I don't know if I've told any of this whole story on the air before, but like, when we were recording Bad Habits, the album Bad Habits, we're in this studio that is in like, basically they're in this like downtown office building that's like was being renovated. I think it's still being renovated. But they're down in the basement. And so like basically this whole building is just to us. There's like, you know, there's a bottom floor, and there's like five stories up, but their studio is built on the bottom floor. It's great place. So fucking secluded. It's awesome. But we're stuck there for like 6 days, like, you know, spending, you know, 12, 13 hours a day there at the fucking studio. And if you know anything about, you know, writing an album and recording an album, you're not like doing shit. For like, you know, each individual person is not doing shit for like hours, sometimes days on end, but you have to be there because, you know,
why?
I've done my bass tracks are done, and I'm basically sitting around not doing dick for fucking ever while my while the guitar players are recording their guitar tracks. But, you know, then they'll get done with their guitar tracks. They'll feel, oh, I don't like that one. I fucked up here, so I got to go back. I mean, me, I nailed my shit. But, no, I don't like that one. I got to go back through, or I got to record this over the top of it. But then there's times when they need you to go through, sit down and run through a part with them, or, okay, cool, they're done with that finally. I can start doing this next part.
Yeah.
See, basically the whole band's sitting around not doing dick for like almost a week, except for like one guy at a time. And so we're just trying to find shit to do and keep ourselves occupied. And, you know, most of it was drinking and taking very expensive naps. like I found this, there's like this weird couch thing in there that, oh my God, I've never had better sleep there. Every time we have gone back to that studio, I'm like, oh, I got my couch back. Oh, I can actually get some good sleep. I haven't slept this well in a year. And, you know, I just take long ass expensive naps. But at one point we're hammered drunk, and part of this whole thing, this is like the first time we recorded at this studio, and the engineer was telling us that, cause the elevators act really fucked up. You can stand there and wait and wait and wait and think if the doors are sitting open, and then they'll go to close. And right as soon as they almost close, they open again, like somebody put their hand in the way.
Ooh, you know, freaky.
But they keep doing it. So they tell us that this fucking place supposedly is haunted as we're talking about the elevators. And so then we get hammered, and I'm running around screaming, chasing this ghost all over this abandoned fucking building, because we've got like free reign of this whole fucking place. And running around screaming. The only other person that's there is like a fucking maintenance guy that we didn't realize was there. And so as we're fucking, you know, it's like fucking 2 o'clock in the morning. We're hammered drunk. We got our beers in our hands, and we're fucking video camera, and we're going like all Blair Witch Project, like fucking grainy ass video chasing a ghost around that's not there, because I don't actually believe in ghosts, but we were drunk. It was fun. And as we're running around screaming at this ghost, we run into the fucking the maintenance guy, the janitor, that just gives us this fucking, like, terrible look. Like, what the fuck are you guys doing here? And why are you running around drunk in the building at fucking 2 o'clock in the morning? Well, we, of course, take off. You know, we're like, oh, shit, there's somebody in here. So we take off. We leave. We go back downstairs. We go into the studio, and we're telling the engineer, you know, about this. And the best part is, like, without skipping a beat, she's just like, there's nobody else in the building. And we're like, shut the fuck up. And she's like, nah, I'm just kidding. That's the maintenance guy. But like, for a split second, I almost believed in ghosts. I was just like, there's nobody else in the building. But yeah, it totally reminds me of that fucking running around, fucking breaking shit and being an asshole at 2 o'clock in the morning in an empty office building.
Yeah, I always laugh at when people tell me, like, yeah, man, my boss is keeping us late. I'm like, the later you work, the stupider you get. I'm like, you're only asking for trouble pulling all-nighters. But anyways, on to magic, because that's what this podcast is about. Unfortunately, we're going to start the cast with some awful news because, Chris Kuritz, whatever, he's in charge of Magic Online Redemption Program or something like that. So there was a press release on the 5th. And basically Wizards is saying that they're raising the price from $5 to $25 to redeem a set. Now, if you've followed the cast, you know that we play Magic Online and we're trying to do it affordably, and we're balancing paper and digital. So, of course, that's a pretty big slap in the face to people who want to try and, you know, keep their collection basically online, but redeem every once in a while for some paper value. So the excuse, because I blew up on Twitter about, and thank God we didn't talk about it yesterday, because I was really fucking angry, and I was,
that would have been fun.
Yeah, well, it was more just me yelling, and it was like, there wasn't enough thought put behind it. So now that I've had some time to think about it, I've looked at the angle, and they're basically telling me that the price to produce Magic Redemption has gone up sixfold. Or fivefold, or whatever. Now, I find I find that incredibly hard to believe.
Did cardboard get expensive as fuck recently? Like, if
well, no. But this is redemption. So, what I don't understand is, okay. So, before we get into that, their side of the argument is, this is quote. In short, the idea of a digital economy was very new to Magic Online. So they ran it at a loss for 5 or 6 years. Whatever, guys.
No.
So they're saying that now there's the costs need to go up. So basically, starting with Great Crash, redemption release in March, and for every redemption release thereafter, the handling costs for set redemption will increase from 5% to 25%. We will not be charging the redemption rates for Return of Ravnica or older sets, nor will we be charging or changing the current shipping rates, which are already high. Thanks for understanding. Well, we don't understand. So here's the way the Maddie approach of this. The entire point, the way I looked at the game, like if I was running Magic, because I'm not going to sit here and just blast them. But what I will do is say this. If I was in charge of running Magic Online, the whole point that what I would be trying to do is realize that if I don't have a vehicle for the future, okay, because paper, no matter how much money you're making on paper right now, the future is digital. So if you don't start putting money and investment into digital, into the MTGO right now, you're going to pay when there's a giant flip over. So, they're probably sitting around saying, hey, you know what? We doubled for Innistrad. We doubled again in Ravnica. The online people are coming online very fast. We're making more money. And typical greedy people, they say, well, hold on a minute. Yep. We're probably what they're seeing or what the wrong assessment of the situation would be is we're losing people from paper to digital. And I would be like, yeah, that's exactly what you want. You know, paper is too expensive to print. Paper is so much money. Digital is here. I paid DIRF to make a piece of artwork. It's done.
Now
I pay a graphic designer to put it in a card frame and hit launch. Yeah. How much did I spend? No, but listen to this. Like, how much did I spend? I spent nothing. I spent the artist creation and a guy to, like, handle some of the assets.
The art has already been created.
Right, exactly.
So you're not paying that again. Basically, all you're doing is making a digital object of that card one time, well, and then you can release it into – I mean, of course, it has to be controlled.
Well, hold on. Okay, hold on. So here's the thing. Okay, here's where it gets weird. If I'm running at the scale and the millions of cards that these guys run at, the cost to produce a card is virtually nothing. It's probably paper cards is virtually zero in print. Like you're running, I bet a box doesn't cost them more than $5 for an entire booster box. It's that cheap. It maybe costs more for the foil. I bet the packaging costs more than the cards. But anyways, right? So when they print redemption sets, if you've noticed, and I have because I've gotten them, they're just one-offs in a white box. So there's no packaging. It's just in a box. The cheapest, shittiest box you could ever buy.
Oh, of course.
So I can guarantee you this is exactly what they do with runs. They run the booster boxes. They run their initial run. And then they tell the printer, now run me a bunch of just extras for redemption. So the truth is the cost to create the paper cards that they give away for redemption doesn't change. That's just a complete lie that prices have gone up. Because if prices have gone up, then why aren't booster prices going up?
Yep.
Right? So that's just bullshit, right? It's greed. Okay? Mm-hmm. So if I was running Magic Online and I was running it, you know what I would say? I want to give away, I'd keep it at $5, if not free, because the whole point is run it at a loss. People spend thousands of dollars online. And once you're online, and it's, me and Kevin are a fact of this, it's just too easy to spend money online. Whereas,
oh, God.
You know, and
my God, yes.
Right. We've said it before that you can go down to the store, you can locate your cards, you can ship them from legit or freaking face to face or whatever you want. But it's more of a hassle. When you're on Magic Online, you're like, all I got to do is click buy this card. I will do it. And we do it. And they fail to realize that the people, you need to put value into the digital objects. Now, there's this disconnect that they think Magic is this second tier system. And I know they like to say it isn't, but you just proved it is. To me, it should be the number one thing that you should have people in. Because once they're in, they're in, man. It's so much easier to sell someone once they're in that system. And frankly, man, everything seems to be just getting fucked to the MTGO player, man.
I don't know how the rest of the, you know, the rest of you Magic players out there feel about it. But like, at least for me, like, you know, when I was just playing paper and I hadn't got into Moto, I was buying fucking paper cards. Yeah. You know, I was spending a little bit of money here, a little money there, sometimes more than I should, but I'd buy my fucking cards that I needed to make my decks. I'd buy some boosters, crack them open because I was young and dumb. Well, not young, but dumb. And then I fucking, you know, but like, since I got into Moto, now I I've been actually, you know, doing a lot more in paper now, like, that I've gotten further and further into Moto. I still mainly play all my fucking stuff on Moto, but now I'm like, oh man, I need to fucking, like, I need to build these fucking expensive fucking decks that I've got. Like, you establish yourself more as a player on Moto, and then, like, that drives you buying more fucking paper cards, too. And they're making money off of fucking both of them. So, I don't know. I don't see how they, like...
Well, there's no justification. Like, yeah. Like, the sad thing is, to all you speculators, get ready for a massive crash in digital prices. Because here's something you don't realize. Why, when sets come out, they're cheap, and then near the end of Redemption, like with Zendikar recently, they suddenly got very expensive, right? And it's going to impact the fact that digital objects being removed from the system will raise the price, right? It's a simple supply and demand issue. So if now, because the way I look at it, if I look at the cost, which was before, I would basically spend $120 to get one of all the Ravnica cards. Then I'm spending $5 to redeem it. Then I'm spending, $20 to ship it, right? If I order a couple sets. So therefore that one of all Ravnica cost me $150. Now you're telling me it's $25 per set. Right. And when you redeem, you'd never redeem one at a time. You redeem like 8 sets, right? Because you want bulk shipping. So 8 sets, that's $200 now in redemption fees.
Just in redemption fees. Yeah.
Yeah. $200 versus $40. Dude, I'll tell you right now that it's to the point where I think
that almost offsets like part of the beauty of redemption is because the cards it's even better if you're playing on Moto and you're drafting, especially, so you're accumulating all this fucking, you know, you're accumulating most of the set anyway just in fucking playing drafts. So you've got all these cards, and then, you know, if you have to, you go buy some of the fucking the chase cards in the set if you need to, because like me, for instance, all my Return to Ravnica stuff that I have, like, other than the, you know, some of the cards I've bought specifically for decks, but all the Return to Ravnica stuff that I have, which is almost the entire set, you know, minus a few mythics, has all just come from draft. And so, like, that whole set, I didn't have to chase down, I didn't have to buy or anything like that. It just fucking came in drafts. And basically,
hold on. Yeah, but here, so what I was trying to say is the cheapest way, right? So if for the people that are trying to, like,
and I'm getting to the same point. Okay. Even if you're not doing it in drafts like that, but like what it comes down to is all of these cards are a hell of a lot cheaper a lot cheaper on Moto than they are in paper. You know, whether it's be your commons that, you know, you might have to go down and pay fucking 10 cents for, you know, or 5 cents for at your fucking local shop, you know, all the way up to your fucking your rares and your mythics and your chase cards that, you know, are, you know, $20 to $30 to $40, but then they're quite a bit cheaper on Moto than they are.
Just look at Deathrite Shaman. It's $4 online. It's $15 in paper. So.
Exactly. And so part of this whole thing, like, you know, when I first got introduced to this redemption thing, was like it was the idea of, you know, you can put together a full set, even if you had to go buy it card for card online. You could put together a full set online, redeem it for $5, pay the fucking shipping, and then you get a paper set that is worth quite a bit more than what you paid for online. Now, adding that extra $20 per set is almost just completely blanking that, if not, you know, costing you more. You know, depending on the price difference of the cards, depending on each individual set, and, like, you know, just how much money you saved by doing it digital and redeeming it as opposed to just buying the cards in paper, now it's probably going to be cheaper for you to go.
Well, it's not cheaper yet. I actually did the math.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, so it's still not cheap. Like, it's still cheaper, right, but barely. The whole point is it's a hassle. So just because it's, like, maybe $10 cheaper to do it this way versus going to the store and buying one, the point is it's a pain in the fucking ass. So
How much is your time worth?
Exactly, right? So the way I look at it is they're completely being greedy, and man, it's a trend with corporations in general. And I am no means saying don't make profit. You know, I get it, make profit, but you don't need to make it just seems like
Problem is, like, there's a fine line between fucking making profit and keeping your customers happy, and making profit and alienating your customers to where they stop.
Right now, your business. Now I had a discussion last night with one of my friends. He's just getting online. Just like a lot of you that tweet us in the comments, in our redemption episode was one of our favorites. He just got in online. The sole reason that he went online, because he's a huge paper guy, is that he said it was getting too expensive in paper, and all he wants is to redeem one set for his cube. He wants one of. That's what he wants. He's not trying to play standard, but he wanted to play online, and then at the end of the season, he'd redeem the blocks.
You know that motherfucker's hooked.
Well,
he's out playing in the beginning, but you know he's gonna be hooked.
he's probably hooked, but he's very pissed off if it went from $5 to $10, yeah, you'd bitch, but you'd say, I get it. Maybe it got more expensive. But that is such an increase when there's absolutely no justification. And here, I'm sorry. You know what? Trick, Warren, whatever, Worth, Chris, whatever you guys, please. I don't even know if you listen to the show, but if you do.
Jack, Bob, Jane, I don't give a fuck. Yeah.
Mero, Margo, somebody tweet us back, comment, whatever, but let us know. Or on one of your own Wizard of the Coast podcasts, explain why. Because what I read here in this little press release is what I like to term the sneak it under the rug press releases, where you know, you're not fooling anyone, you know, and I think they're just missing the point that to grow Magic Online, which is the goal of what, in my opinion, it would be my goal if I ran the company, grow online, you've now just put a giant nail in that coffin, or you put a giant roadblock in the way, because a lot of people are going to go, man, it's already expensive, right? You know, and one of the things that I was telling my friends as they're coming on, yeah, it is. It feels very expensive when you first get into Magic. But when you first get into online Magic, it seems ridiculously expensive, because you're like, what is this, digital cards? I don't own anything. And so there's already a perception of lost value. And now you're telling me, oh, wow, to actually pull my fake cards, as my friends call them, digital cards to real cards, it's going to cost me more? Didn't I already? Here's the thing that most people, if you ask them, if I bought my cards online, I've purchased my cards. So why am I paying for them again? You know, in my opinion, what I would do is have zero redemption, right? Because you remove one card from your system and you're trading it for a paper one. That's the way I would run it. It's very simple. Everyone understands it. And no one feels like they're getting ripped off.
Here's the solution, Maddie. I just had a stroke of genius. We're going to start doing our own paper redemptions.
heavy meta MTG. I love it.
See, and what makes me think of it is, like, I was just, you know, like I was talking about last episode with Mike. Ginger Italian, you know, he's just getting into Moto, and he's got a paper collection, and he's trying to get into Moto and, you know, wanting to buy cards and stuff like that and get tickets, not have to spend a bunch of money on it. So I'm buying his, and he's, you know, other friends of ours and stuff like that are buying his paper cards and giving him tickets for him, and then he's going and buying them. So you just streamline that process, and we start, you know, we start trading them fucking straight across. Be like, oh, yeah, you know, I'll give you a fucking, you know, you want a fucking Deathrite Shaman online? Give me your paper Deathrite Shaman.
Oh, man, I'm down with that. That's a great.
And we'll convert everybody's collection from paper to fucking digital.
I love it.
And then we'll all of a sudden, like, at one point, we'll just completely go off the air and fucking disappear and retire in Cuba.
There you go. The heavy meta cartel right there. I love it. That's actually brilliant. If anyone's interested in starting that up with us, Jeebus,
I don't see why, in theory, I don't see why that wouldn't work. That's not something I feel like putting my fucking time into, but, like, on a smaller scale, I don't see why that would work, because you could, you know, as a website or just, or one of the bot chains or something like that.
Yeah, that's, it's like that. it's like a reverse thing. That's hilarious. I think that's funny. I don't know if anyone is stupid enough to ever do that, but hey, you never know.
Do it on a very small percentage because, of course, you know, people are going to be wary of that. They're going to go, well, I'm going to give you fucking, you know, all my paper cards that are worth more than these digital cards. You know, I'm not going to get, I'm not going to trade you straight across, but you give them, you know, some sort of percentage, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
But, I don't know. That's free fucking information for anybody that wants to use it.
Well, you know what's interesting?
Ferret,
somebody get on this. A brand new store model. But what's funny is, okay, so if redemption suddenly costs $25, and let's say half the stores, because you know it was the bigger stores like Star City and maybe Fireball and maybe some other stores that were basically buying large quantities online and redeeming them for their paper stores. I wonder if that changes their mathematics and they stop doing it. And if that happens, the giant dip or the when shit got expensive or cheap, when a set's cycle, life cycle was out there, it might just be very similar to how Return to Ravnica is, where it's like, hey, it's just going to keep going down. And it doesn't seem like there's a bottom. And everything just keeps crashing and crashing and crashing. Well,
it seems like another thing that, you know, we've touched on or you brought up before is when we were going off about Modern Masters and how it's not redeemable. You know, you mentioned something, exactly. You know, a few minutes back about how, you know, like basically it's not going to completely flood the market with digital objects, but
to an extent it is,
but not like the extent of Modern Masters where, like you said, with Modern Masters, everything that gets opened online is not redeemable. So it's not going to leave the system. Now,
you know what I just thought of? Hey, listen to this. Do you think that's what they're doing? Now, this is interesting. I just thought of this. People complain about how expensive it is. Do you think that someone has the strategy that they're like, if you pay paper, it's expensive. But if you want to enter Magic, you can do it through online. And if they crash all the – yeah, if they just crash the prices to ridiculous levels online, hell, you could probably play Vintage then.
Well, and you know what? That also brings up – like, look at, like, Cockatrice. Like, Cockatrice is fucking free. You can play with all the fucking cards you want to.
Yeah, but you play against fucking morons.
Well, one, you play against morons. Two, it's just a wonky-ass system because there's nothing behind it. Like, there's no sort of fucking funding behind it. But now if you were to take – like, from Wizard's point of view, if you were to take – and almost do what Cockatrice, because they're basically going to just drive the price down to fucking nothing. But they're still going to be making money off of it, and they can still put money into the system. But it's not going to be all completely free, so it's not going to be, you know, fucking Cockatrice garbage. It'll still be run like Magic Online, but rather than having to pay the prices that you are in paper or that you're paying in Moto now, it's going to be, you know, dirt cheap to play these fucking cards that you want to. So you can jump on, you can spend $20 and buy what would in paper be a fucking, you know,
$1,000 deck. Yeah.
And pay $20 to, you know, just a little bit of an investment to go through and play like that. And maybe that's the direction they're kind of going with it.
I got to say, I don't know. That's a hard one. If you told me next year you could play Magic Online for half of what you pay for it now, I don't know. I might be actually very interested in that. I don't know. Like, that's interesting. I could buy all the cards I've always wanted to play with.
I still think it comes down to the same thing, though. When you know, yeah, that would be great for us. Or, you know, that'd be great.
Who knows?
It'd be great for, you know, on a personal level. Like, you know, when you look at it from the sense like, oh, cool, I can play Vintage. I can play these cards that I've always wanted to fucking play with, but I don't have to spend fucking hundreds of dollars per card on them, you know, and I can just play with them dirt cheap, and I can do the same thing I would be doing in paper, but I can do it online, and that'll be fun. But the problem is when you spread that out amongst the whole community,
I think everyone would love it. What are you talking about?
Well, no, everybody's going to love it, but then you're going to go back to, like, you know, what I said a long time ago. Like,
yeah, it loses the prestige, I guess.
Yeah, well, it loses the prestige, and it makes it less fun. I mean, part of the reason, you know, yeah, these cards are expensive, and it sucks that the same piece of cardstock that's just printed differently, you know, that is a bulk shitty common and a bonfire, like, you know, same piece of cardboard, same amount of ink, same cost to fucking print it, but one is exponentially more expensive than the other. It's
imagine like, if they started putting like gold in rares, you know, like so it was gold, and then there was like actually platinum ink. So the card you melt it down, it actually was worth something. It'd be hilarious.
When the economy collapses, and you got to take your magic cards and just fucking melt them down for bullets.
Yeah, for bullets. So there you go. But, I don't know.
It seems like I honestly think that as much as you know, we do try to. You know, what we condone on this cast is, you know, trying to play this game the cheapest way you can get away with it, you know.
Have the most fun, right? That's my point.
Yeah, you know, and try to, you know, that's the reason for, like, a lot of our speculation stuff and shit like that is not, you know, so you can make money on it or not so that you can play the goddamn game for free. It's so that, you know, you don't have to spend quite as much on those cards you want to play with. But the problem is, you know what, if it costs you, you know, if a bonfire costs a nickel, then it wouldn't be as much fun to play.
I mean, it's true. Who knows? I mean, we've hit that subject before, but I'm just upset that they're approaching it from, well, you know, it just took away, yeah, I mean, what's funny is when I got my redemption stuff in the mail, it was such a good feeling, man. It was like, oh man, I got the paper. Like, I don't know. I just think charging more for that, I think it's like taking.
What they fucked with redemption too is like, check this. Like, what would be the okay? If you know that extra $20 per redemption set. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to look at now. I don't know the numbers. I'm sure
I do. Here, hit me. The
numbers, but like, how many? Like, how many sets are redeemed per year or you know, something along those lines. But if you were to take that number and then put it against, the, like, what it would cost, well, like, what kind of price increase they would have to put on booster packs online to make up that difference, the amount of booster, like, you know, I –
yeah, but what you're doing is taking you're transposing subjective profit that doesn't exist yet. Like, what the real truth is – whatever.
What I'm saying is to make up for that, like, if they honestly think that it's fucking, you know, that it costs that much more for set redemptions, and so they need to up the price from fucking $5 to $25, if they up the price of their booster packs, which I guarantee you there's a hell of a lot more booster packs or event tickets sold than set redemptions. But, you know, by astronomically numbers, like more, if they were to up the cost of that by a nickel, people wouldn't give that much of a shit. You know, of course, you're going to have somebody bitch be like, what the fuck? Booster packs went up a nickel. But that isn't going to matter. But you know what? That nickel is going to make up that $20 per redemption set if you put it on every booster pack they sell. And but, that isn't gonna be nearly as big of a deal.
Right. But they're doing it. This is the thing, though. They chose to put the money there, and they chose to make it that much.
They put it on redemptions to discourage redemptions.
Exactly, right? So there's a secondary thing going on there about they did that for a reason. I assume they're an intelligent company that they had a discussion with multiple people, and they did it for a reason, folks. So to me, the reason is
that example right there just shows you what you were trying to say in the beginning, that it isn't so much that they need that extra $20 per redemption in order to make money. Wizards is not poor.
They want paper. What they probably don't like is the fact that redemption, a lot of people, I mean, I know Vigable was trying to figure it out, but didn't get anywhere. But I bet redemption does cause a significant dip in paper prices, right? When all those redemptions start coming back into paper, it kills the prices of paper cards. So maybe they want to keep it even more expensive, which is just fine. It fucking makes no fucking sense. It just
so
makes
you
want to
say is now redemption is officially on the restricted list.
Yes, the restricted ban list. Whatever. Anyways, we'll move on to another topic because that one's kind of dead. But it's just depressing that another bad decision. Oh man, I wish they'd been involved.
Said it before, say it again. We keep playing this game and we love this game, but we've never actually accused Wizards of making good business decisions. So.
Oh man, they make good sets. They make good cards.
They make a
man,
great product, but for yeah. fuck's sake, man.
God, who's running this shit, man? It's just crazy. But anyways, on to another topic, which I found very interesting. So if you read Brian Kibler's article, because as you know, I have SCG Premium now.
Yes,
and I, and I, yeah, And I read Brian Kibler's article on he's basically a giant bitch fest on being a pro tour player. And to give you guys the short version of it, he basically says that it's very expensive in the new system, the way they set it up, and that he's spending $700 to go to a pro tour, or not a pro tour, a GP. And, you know, he maybe makes $200. So it's costing him, you know, $500, $300 to $500, depending on how he's doing it, to go to these events. And he says he spends half a year traveling, and that if this is the system going forward, that he's probably going to significantly downgrade what he does. Same with LSV. Now, why I bring this up is very interesting. Just like Magic Online raised the price of redemption, they also don't make it
Still be appealing.
Yeah, it's not even physically, but they don't make it tasty enough, you know, to be a pro. And it's kind of like once you're on the pro tour and you're in the Hall of Fame, it's like, hey, then it's, you can go to any pro tour you want, you get free airfare, it's a different story. But like he was making a point in his article, he was saying to get on the pro tour, it's virtually impossible now. And again, it seems like Wizards of the Coast is constantly trying to cheapen everything. Like, we don't want these many people on the pro tour. We gotta reduce the numbers here, but increase the Grand Prix, cause we make more money there, cause we're selling booster packs to dumb people. And it's almost like they're trying to create a cattle mentality of, here all you people that will never make this fictitious pro tour now because it's impossible to get on the train, you know, but keep buying all those booster packs, you know, and run around in this system that you'll never get here. And then you've got the pros that are on the pro tour, which in my opinion, if it was me, I would be paying them $100,000 a year each. I'd be like, I'll pay you because it's advertising and the benefit that these
people. It's like every other professional sport. You know.
Exactly. The fact that he says that League of Legends gamers are making more than Magic Pro Tour players, what the fuck is wrong with that? Is the game we love that pathetic? I don't know.
Yeah, dude, fuck your GPs. You know, like fucking open up the Pro Tours. I mean, not open up the Pro Tour events to fucking players to just play, but open up the fucking Pro Tours. You know, put more effort into making it, you know, more exciting to watch, to be there, you know, open it up so that you can be there. You can watch this shit go down and fucking, you know, sell your fucking booster packs there. You know, it's like fucking going to a baseball game. You go there, you know, all those players get paid ridiculous amounts of money, even if you've never heard from them. But you know what? You're making up all that money and selling fucking $9 beers and fucking $7 hot dogs. Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess the point is though that, I think, again, it's greed. I mean, I have a hard time believing they're not profitable if I read their latest IR or their stock reports that they're the most profitable division of Hasbro. But anyways, they seem to be making a shit ton of money, and maybe it's time to give a little bit of that back.
Put some of it back into your fucking product. No
yeah,
shit.
Well,
between the fucking the Magic Online client, between the fucking, you know, the bullshit that the pro players are going through, like all of it, man. It's like, Jesus Christ, you guys are obviously making money. You've released that you're doubling your player base, like. And then the next set comes out and you're fucking growing again. And the next set comes out, you're doubling your player base again. And yet, like, you're getting cheaper and cheaper.
And you still can't make a fucking app for the iPad or the iPhone that works. Oh my God. Infuriating. So, like, here's what I think the biggest problem though is that they fail to realize. If LSV and Kibler and some of these other people turn into basically, you know, pro tour players only. Right, because they're qualified, and you know, and they've got platinum level status now that you're in the Hall of Fame, and they basically just show up for pro tours. Then you have a giant fake system that even me as a viewer is gonna go, oh, well, I see all these old fogies at the pro tours, and I never see them at GPs, and they're just basically going there to have fun because that's all it would be to them anymore.
Yep.
Right, and so you've taken away all the competitive edge, and then you get people like Josh Cho who fucking was kicking ass, and he just missed the cut, didn't get on the pro tour. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, that's just stupid. So, I tell you right now, LSV got
a
job.
Well, see, and that's the problem, too.
Wait. Let me finish. So LSV got a job. Connolly got a job. Brian Kibler's got his own shit going. These, to me, these are the top people that are the best media relations people. They get people in the game. They're your baseball heroes, you know? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
they're the people that I want to watch. So when they're not playing, and I'm not talking just on the Pro Tour, I'm talking, I want to watch them compete to get their points, right? And you've made it so hard and so difficult that I barely see LSV even play anymore this year. You know, like him and Connolly, I know they got jobs, but like, I don't see them play. I don't even see them write for Channel Fireball anymore. And you know what I've noticed as a side result of this? You get Star City Games, who's a giant in the industry because they sell so much cards and that, but they're gradually just picking off all the talent. And it seems to me, tell me if I'm wrong, viewers, but it seems to me that Channel Fireball is waning. It seems like now Martel has gone over to Star City Games. You know, Cedric is now basically looks like he's going to be on there too. And it seems like, I don't know, man. It just seems like, fuck, like PV and LSV and Conley. They're barely over there anymore, and TSG blew it all up with Bonfires, and the fucking thing is wrecked now. Like,
it's, you know, all wrecked.
Yeah, well, what I don't want is, as a player, what I don't want is, I don't want Star City Games to run everything, because that's just bad for business. Number one, it's a monopoly, and it's also just boring. Like, oh, it's them again. Oh, I'm rooting for blue or black. Not fun, not entertaining. So, if I was Wizards, I would be absolutely worried that I'm witnessing the death of the entertainment, right? It's like Gary Bettman running the NHL. If all of a sudden I said, fuck all you players, I could care less, you know, I'm not going to pay, I'm going to pay you shit, but go to, you know, you guys drive to every hockey game, you guys pay for your own shit and all this. A lot of people wouldn't do it anymore. So I think they need to realize that if they want to grow the game, because the game is growing, the level of expectations and the financial expectations that the players have of them is increasing, and I think they got to stop being so stingy about it and cough the fucking money up. It is well worth it to pay, you know, the top 100 players. You know, I know it sounds like a lot, but I bet it isn't as much as you think. And you know,
well, and see, that's the problem too. Like, you got to look at those people, like, you know, that aren't fucking Kibler and LSV. Like, those dudes, like, they're cemented in.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And like, you know, and if Kibler is fucking is complaining because it's too hard for him to go, it costs too much
exactly
for him to go do this shit, then where do you think your next fucking generation, like when Kibler and LSV and fucking Conley Woods and shit just go, you know, I'm over this. It's easier for me to just go get a fucking day job and fucking, you know, fuck it. When those guys that are fucking masters of this game and they're you know, they're your celebrities of this fucking game. When it's too much of a pain in the ass and it's too fucking expensive for them to get to and from and go to your events, and they're losing money doing it, and they're the fucking golden children of fucking Magic, how the fuck do you think that these kids out there that are, you know, these younger guys that are fucking grinding it out, trying to get on the fucking Pro Tour, like, where do you think that leaves them? That, you know, this dude that is, like, has been fucking biting the bullet, eating fucking Top Ramen and grinding it out on Moto and fucking going to every fucking qualifier he can and doing all this shit so he can live the dream and get on the fucking Pro Tour, when his fucking hero, when fucking the, you know, old Babe Ruth of Magic, fucking Brian Kibler's just all, man, baseball ain't where it's at, fuck it, go get a day job. Like, when Kibler is having a fucking hard time and publicly, like, releases an article saying, like, dude, I can't afford this shit, then where is your next generation of fucking Magic superstars and your Pro Tour gonna come from?
Exactly.
All these kids are gonna be like, fuck this, I'm gonna go play League of Legends.
Well, Kevy, you nailed it on the head, man. What they don't realize is they think they're saving, let's say, 500 grand by cutting back. But what they're actually doing is probably doing about $50 million of damage long-term to their brand. Because exactly as you said, kids, like, look at Scotty trying to make the Pro Tour, or like even just trying to compete. He is grueling. It's fucking grueling. The guy's a full-time job. You can't, like, I know I want to talk about this eventually, but I would love to find out. You want to make a Pro Tour. How the fuck do you do it? If you don't own your own business, or you don't, if you don't aren't a millionaire, I don't know how an average person with an average job who is expected to work 48 hours a week can afford, and who owns a family, to do it. They can't. Maybe a young kid who's 18 and his dad is rich and he's like, hey man, go fucking do it. Maybe you could do it. Maybe, if you were good at it. I don't know. But
but that's the thing, and it doesn't get you anywhere. Like, that's right. Fucking...
So listen to this. So it
just live the dream, and you get there so that you can get shit on. Like
exactly. So even if you did make it right to gold level or whatever it is, you still have to keep on the pro. Like, you still have to keep on the train. So you have to keep doing that effort every year to stay there. And so if it's costing you money, even if you make the Hall of Fame,
no, this is the fucking nail in the coffin. Even if you make the Hall of Fame, Kibler, and you get there, here you are writing about how, man, this just, it's too expensive for me to keep doing this. So why would I keep doing it?
Hey, I don't love flying. So the fact that he flew 23 weekends out of his year, I don't know, man, that alone is just too much for me. I couldn't do it. That's just crazy, man. I don't know. I think Wizards just fails to realize that if the product that, you know, I basically waste an entire weekend watching a pro tour on is diminished to the point where I don't care about these people anymore, or that, you know, it's a different crew every time because no one can stay in the pro tour, then you don't build stories. You don't build those. Again, what did we say? Drama, stories, characters that Magic is lacking. Guess what? Now it's even more lacking, right? Mm-hmm. Or now you just don't have people that are, I don't know. It just seems like a complete.
Well, yeah, you're just, nobody's going to give a fuck. Like, nobody wants to put that kind of effort in. You know, like we said, like, grinding to get onto the pro tour, just to get onto the pro tour, not just stay there, but to get onto the pro tour is fucking a shit ton of fun. Cause you know what? Like, Wizards is sitting there going like, yeah, dude, you're spending all this money on these cards. You're giving us money to go to fucking, to pay to get into these fucking tournaments so that you can grind away. Like, they're collecting every time you do that. And you're forking your fucking money out to Wizards. Just like, oh, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to get on the fucking pro tour. Like, everybody, you know, when you're doing shit like that and you're grinding away at fucking anything, it's because there's supposed to be a fucking pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But like, when there's just a porta potty full of shit at the end of the rainbow, like, it sucks, man. When you've got, like, you know, Kibler is a great example because Kibler is, you know, he's the celebrity of fucking, you know.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he is. Yeah.
And he is, when he releases an article saying like, I can't afford this. This doesn't make sense. Like, I'm in the Hall of Fame. I've got my own, well, not his own, but, you know, basically his own fucking game company. Like, he's a game designer. He does all this shit. And he's like, you know, I'm a Hall of Fame fucking Magic player. Yet I can't afford, like, you know, like, look how many, like, if Brian Kibler didn't exist, look how many people wouldn't be, like, look how, like, if you could put a number on it, like, how much fucking money Wizards would have lost if Brian Kibler didn't do what he's done for Magic.
I agree. You
know, and that's just one fucking person, one example. But when that one person who is, you know, at the top of the pinnacle of what, you know, the pro tour is supposed to be, you know, he's a mainstay there. He's fucking, and when that guy can't afford to go to fucking events and play, then what the fuck are you working for? What the fuck are you grinding your fucking, you know, grinding it out for and, you know, battling these matches? Now, that's not to be said that you're not doing it for the love of the fucking game, because, you know, that's,
yeah, but
you
love
know,
only goes so far, right?
Like, yeah, well, you're just going to stop doing that. You're going to stop fucking feeding Wizards fucking wallet. And you're gonna, you know, you're gonna go to events that aren't fucking Wizards shit. You're gonna go, you know, start playing in fucking SCG opens and shit like that. You're gonna,
well, no, listen to this. So here's what's hilarious, right? We've all watched Brian Kibler stream, and his drunk stream was probably the best ever done, right? So what do you think's gonna happen to people like that? They're gonna play Moto. So. Yeah. I don't know. Is this another secret strategy being worked on by, Wizards of the Coast to get people off paper and into Moto? I don't know. Probably not. That's just ludicrous. But
No. You know what? That actually, that's something I hadn't thought about before. And that actually in the right context, that makes sense. Now, I'm not like going conspiracy theory on it, but like, okay, look at games like, you know, here's an example though. Look at games like fucking League of Legends or StarCraft or something like that. And the amount of viewers they have on their fucking, you know, their events and stuff. You know, have you ever gone on fucking Twitch to go watch a fucking Magic tournament and realize that there's 2,000 people on Twitch TV watching the Magic, like a Pro Tour event, and there's fucking 60,000 watching a StarCraft event.
Right, but the problem is with that. Like, well,
with StarCraft is there's no paper version of StarCraft.
Yeah. Like, the thing is, a lot of people have like done the comparison. It's all about entertainment value, and of course watching a video game is going to be much more entertaining to the youth than, you know, watching Thrag Test Mirrors, right? Like, it's, what the fuck are these guys doing, right? Again, it's all part and parcel to Wizards needs to, not in one area, in all areas, needs to up their game. The production value needs to be better. The, you know, pros need to be happier. The average player needs to be looked after way fucking more than they are now. Because I'll tell you this, my clients that I, you know, work for Smash Brand, the whole point is they may drop 20, 30 grand with us, you know, in a year, but if you don't treat them well, they leave. So the amount of money that people spend on Magic is absurd. It's so much higher than I think many other things. So I think they really need to start just giving back.
I think part of what it is, though, you need to give more shit. You know, if you don't give back to your customers, you know, they're like, all right, well, Smash Brand treated me like shit. They didn't give a fuck. So they can go to another fucking design firm. Problem with Wizards is they've got this like false sense of like, well, we've
got security.
Well, we've got security because we're, you know, this is our intellectual property. We are the only ones that, like,
the only game in town, man.
We've talked about before. Exactly. You know, what are you going to do? Go play Pokemon? Fuck you. Go play Pokemon. You'll be back. And
well, they own Pokemon, dude. They own Pokemon too.
Well, yeah, and I guess that's it. If you go fucking scoop up all the fucking trading card games, then fucking people are going to have to find something else to do.
You can go play Soul Forge. That's the only other option. But anyways, we've smacked.
Fun Kibler so that he can play more fucking Pro Tour events.
I mean, to wrap up, I just think, you know, man, it just seems like a lot of bad decisions are being made that, you know, it's about cut. And, I don't know, if I was in charge and I heard we're making profits, I would be putting it back into the thing. Like, you know, that's what you do, right? That's how you grow something. Like, you know, heavy metal, we want to grow it, we put back into it. You know, if Kevin wants to grow his band, you put back into it. You don't cut. You don't tell the fans it's more expensive and you're getting less. Hey, our new album has 3 songs on it. It's
our new album
is
$25 and you get 3 songs.
And by the way, when you want to listen to it, it costs you $1. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, right? Like, that's just stupid. So, I like you said, they're the king of the castle. You know, they own the only game in town, and they are. They're probably a little arrogant, and they think, fuck, we can do whatever we want, and they'll keep paying. So, it's sad. I don't, you know, I will keep paying.
And one of the things I want to point out, definitely, after this whole fucking ridiculous rant that we both went on, like, you and I both aren't the type to, like, there are a lot of people out there that, like, blast shit just because they're fucking, like, just to spread hate and discontent. That is not at all. Like, I know myself personally, like, you know, I'm open-minded about things. I might be retarded when it comes to some shit, but I'm open-minded about a lot of things. And, like, you know, I'll argue the other side of it if I think it makes sense. You know, if I thought that Wizards, you know, in these situations, if I thought that Wizards actually had a leg to stand on any of this, you know, I'd be the first to say, hey, you know, well, you know, maybe like this is because of this, but no, it just, none of this makes any sense. It's them like you said, being greedy.
Yeah. I mean,
greedy and lazy.
The only reason I bring up these points is to improve the game. And if I wouldn't bring up something just to completely lambaste them without a solution. Like when we bring up an argument, I offer a solution. I don't just say you suck. I say, here's what I would do.
Exactly. Whether they would actually take that suggestion or not, here is a logical solution to where both, you know, both you would make money and the fucking, you know, the fans and the players would be happy. You know, here, just as an example, like, not like, that's stupid and I hate it because it's dumb. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, we try to
like
better
like 90% of all the comments on any article you read. Mm-hmm. And speaking of articles, funny enough, moving on to some other interesting stuff. I was reading an article on Star City Games here by Chaz, and he was saying about
because
selling.
You have premium now.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to give fair coverage here. Completely hilarious article on should you sell your Shocklands? And as we know, Dragon's Maze is coming out, and it will not feature a token, I believe, right? And the slot is going
No basic lands.
Ah, that's right. Okay, so there's no basic lands. So you're going to be getting a rotation of lands, and I think it's one out of every 64th pack or something you may get a Shockland. And everyone's like, oh my god, Shocklands will be worthless. And, you know, at least Chaz has the decency to explain, no, that's just ludicrous, because it's the amount that's going to hit the market won't be that bad. So relax, people. Do I think you should sell them? I don't know. It's one of those things. Look at, it's just needed, right? You need four. You're playing them. They're going to hold their value in paper. Online, it's a different story. They're still like $3 to $4. I don't know, man. I don't, like I said last, in a couple episodes ago with Ferret, we still think that I'd be buying them now as a long-term hold. For online, you know, because when Modern Masters hits, and if Modern is going to continue to grow, if it is this cheap to play, you know, MTGO now, those cards are going to actually be worth a lot because everyone's going to need them. So, I don't know. Interesting. One thing though, that out of the new Gatecrash set that I'm kind of pissed off that it's already catching on so fast is my buddy, the Boros Reckoneer. I mean, Oh, this fuck! Everyone's saying it's like $20 now. I'm like, fuck! What the fuck, man?
Yeah, shit's gone up. We were talking about, like, we'll get into that here in a few, but like that red green aggro deck.
Yes.
Deck. That's like, was it RU Unleashed or at RU Unleashed on Twitter? One of our fans, our buddies. Got to give him a quick early shout out. I posted that picture of that list that Saito was doing, and that was the problem. Like, he was all about it, and he wanted to fucking build it, and that was the biggest problem, is the fucking Reckoners were fucking expensive. Which, actually, that list is rather inexpensive for what it is, and you know, a competitive fucking deck. It doesn't have much to it. Like, other than the Reckoners and the Hellriders, those were the most expensive cards in the deck.
So here, we'll go into deck. So let me give everyone the overview. So the overview of this deck, it's essentially called Frog in a Blender as well. So it's got four Ash Zealot, four Boros Reckoneer, four Burning Tree Emissary, four Flinthoof Boar, four Hellrider, four Cacklers, and four Nobles, Stormkirk Nobles. So it's basically a red-green haste deck is what you're playing.
Yeah.
Your spells are Rancor, Searing Spear, and Pillar of Flame, all at four. Which I think that's pretty decent. I like that. And your sideboard, well, it could be anything right now. He's got four Graft Digger's Cage. I don't see that. Volcanic Strength?
Are you talking the Saito list?
Yeah, this is Saito.
No, he doesn't have fucking Graft Digger's Cage in it.
Dude, I'm looking at the desk right now. This is what it has, man.
I'm looking at it. The sideboard is fucking three Traitorous Bloods, four Volcanic Strength, four Flames of the Firebrand, and four Reckless Waves.
All right. Well, so, whoever put this list in here is wrong.
One of the things I was going to say, that might have been like their version of it. One of the things I was going to say about, I posted like Saito's picture of this list. I was like, I'm totally going to build this. And, I can't ever remember his fucking name. He's the one we were talking about a couple episodes ago, one of our fans. It's like Gensoku or something like that. The dude that I thought, like, his picture looked like he was going to fight you all the time.
I know who you're talking about.
Twitter. Anyway, he was just like, yeah, like, Saito actually wrote me back about that. I mentioned Skullcracks, and he said he totally forgot Skullcracks in the list. So, yeah, like, Searing Spear needs to go, and Skullcrack needs to be in its place. Because, I mean, why not? It's the same fucking spell, basically, but more. I think other than that, I think you got the list fucking dead nuts.
I mean, I think the improvement, like we were saying earlier, Wolf Run, I definitely would have at least one.
Yeah, in there. Yeah, I mean, Wolf Run not a bad idea at all.
In this deck, he's only playing 20 lands, so maybe not. But if you went to 21 or 22 lands, I definitely have a Wolf Run in there, because late game, I don't know, that just seems great. The other thing is, where the fuck is the, what is that card called? The Clan Mauler, that new card?
Gory, that's one of
the things. Why is that not in there?
No, that's one of the things RU Unleashed put in. That was his first thought. War
Clan.
Like, oh, man. I'm totally doing this. Yeah, or Gore Clan Ravager, is it? Or Rampager? It's the Gruul fucking dude, right?
Yeah, the really good one that gets 4/4 you can discard for 3, right? And, I thought it was
Trample, right?
Yeah, it's Gore Clan Rampager, sorry.
Yeah, there we go.
So he's 2 red and a green, 4/4 Trampler, but you can Blood Rush him for 1 red and 1 green. And then it's basically target creatures of 4/4. Gains Trample.
Which just so happens to Jesus be what Christ. Bloodstray Emissary gives you, or Burning
yes.
you when you cast her.
So dude, I love it.
Extra mana, like, I love that deck. I'm kind of jealous because we were tweeting back and forth about that deck, and I was just like, oh, I want to build this, and he's just like, me too, that's awesome. And then he's like, so I built it and like posted a picture of it, and I'm like, you motherfucker. I'm like, god damn it, I have, like, my local game store sucks. Like, I mean, I love them to death, but, like, they don't have, you know, I can't go down and buy singles, so I have to fucking order the cards. Like, I could dig through and see if maybe they have them in the fucking, in their boxes of shit, but, like, it's doubtful.
But dude, it's almost all, like, Ash Zealot is a rare, and then, like, it's Boros Reckoner is going to be the one that's going to cost.
No,
everything else is fucking uncommon.
Well, no, that's the thing.
Hellriders is a bitch, but
our store has, like, literally this is the singles that our store has. It has one of those 5,000 count boxes that I have just to put all my shit in.
Yeah.
They have one of those of commons. They have what I'm thinking is like a 1,000 count box, because it's like one row worth is their uncommons, and then they have a small little box that's probably got
rares,
fucking 40 cards that are rares. And this is not like current anything. Like, this is all the cards that they have for singles, period, over all the sets. So,
man, that's a small selection, dude.
There's rarely ever dick in any of that. And the problem is, too, is because of that, like, anytime, like, a set comes out and, you know, the store will buy, you know, a box and open it up to have singles, there's usually a couple different people that'll just go in there and buy them all.
Of course, right?
And so there's rarely ever anything in there unless somebody goes in and, like, sells them a collection or something like that. There's rarely anything there. So I basically have to just buy them all. I'm pissed because I can't play the deck right now. Like, I just buy them on fucking Moto, but Gatecrash isn't on fucking Moto yet. So I can't go buy the Emissaries and the Reckoners and shit. Otherwise, I'd been playing it yesterday. But I can't do that yet, and I can't fucking go down to my local store and buy the shit, so I gotta fucking order the cards and wait for him to get here, which just fucking bums me out. And he's just all, check it out, and he's got it all sleeved, took a picture of it. I'm like, you're a dick, man.
Oh, man. No. It's funny, I've been playing a bit on the beta. It's hard, for some reason, like, all of a sudden, it's hard to get games with anyone, like, you know, because Gatecrash is legal on the closed beta, but it's hard to find people that have built decks yet. But the games that I have been playing, man, I am
almost. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing. I haven't seen that deck, so that deck looks sick. I actually want to build it and just smash some people with it.
It just seems fun.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of control with Zagana, Prime Speaker, and I mean Marcel battled me a couple times. He had a crazy fucking list, and he's just like, I'm drawing 8 cards this turn off fucking Zagana, and like, you're like, well, I'm fucked. So, I mean, there's some very interesting builds going on. I have yet to see, like, it's more people on the beta that are trying, like, really crazy brews than people that are kind of trying to build, like, standard stuff.
Not getting super competitive.
Yeah, like, well, Smitty's on there occasionally, and he actually has good brews, so we'll battle for a bit. But, I mean, like, my Boros build that I've tweaked now a bit, I'll give you the quick overview of it, because it is just, I love this fucking deck. It's so tight right now. So I'm running 4 Champion of the Parish, 2 Face Shield, 2 Dynacharge, 4 Legion Loyalist, 4 Knight of Glories, 2 Ultimate Price, 2 Boros Charms, a Key Rune, a Boros Key Rune, and a Vorozov Key Rune, 4 Frontline Medic, 4 Silver Blade Palladians, Paladins. fucking bastard. Two Boros Reckoner, two Riders of Gavinny, and two Spark Troopers. This thing is fucking nuts. I'm actually even so impressed with Boros Reckoner. I'm thinking of just killing the Spark Troopers entirely and just going two more of those.
That was actually one of the things that about that last deck that Unleashed was talking about. He mentioned maybe splash and white to run Boros Elite, and I was like, I don't know if you want to do that. Like, I don't know if you want to splash a whole, you know, a third color into it just for Boros Elite. But then I was like, well, what about fucking Spark Trooper? Yeah, Spark Trooper. Then maybe you could, because I fucking love that card. But then he tweeted back. He's just like, so what? Turn 4 Hellrider and turn 5. Spark Trooper. I was like, oh yeah, shit.
Yeah, there is such like so, right now. There's such a glut at 4 mana. There's so many things to choose from. Like,
so, but what any colors? Do you think that like Spark Trooper? Although I fucking love that card, it's awesome. Wouldn't it be better to just run Hell Rider?
So here's the thing with Spark Troopers. I initially it was really cool. It was very neat. And if you got face shields, you know, in your hand, you can drop them and you can smash and usually get in. Unfortunately, Brad Nelson and his pedal to the metal deck, there is a lot of that blasted Staticaster pinger going around, and this deck doesn't like that pinger very much because it kills this deck dead. Right? Like, this deck does not like that card. So I've been trying to, like, think of ways to be ready for that, and, you know, it's almost like I guess I just up to 4 face shields. I don't know. But what I did start thinking of is I'll basically swap out my entire sideboard to like a Sorin Lord of Innistrad kind of build with Olivia Valdarin. Where I'm just bigger, heavier, and more powerful. And I just take out a lot of those little guys and I'm like, fuck it. Just get out of the way.
Armor on the front.
Yeah. Like, you know, that's one of the ideas. The other idea is like, seeing how green-white humans performed, and then the port-over build is like the green-white humans reanimator strategy. Mm. Man, those decks, I don't know. The thing with this Boros build is it's fast enough to kill you just on turn 3 and 4. It really is that fast. It is so good. It can just kick ass, but you have to know. You have to know how to play it. You have to know what you're playing, and you have to be ready. Like this deck, obviously, if the metagame attacks the really early end of the curve, you know, then you can't play it anymore.
You have to be able.
The strategy's dead. Yeah, but it's one of those decks where you can't add a card. It's like you just throw the deck away because it's all one toughness guy.
Yeah, you have to do something else completely.
Yeah, like if there was a Whip Flare or some. Although I don't know why more people aren't playing Electricity in their sideboard, because I played a guy with Electricity. Oh, dude, he smoked me so bad. He got me. He demolished me. So he had a really good idea, though. He was chatting me, and he's like, hey, man, in your green-white list, or maybe a green-white Nihilist, because I do have a Nihilist I'm playing as well. He said, Quirion Dryad?
Yeah,
that basically it's almost like a Champion of the Parish, right, for casting spells.
Yeah,
and that card has got me thinking, man. You know, if it was the only green card in a green red list, maybe in a Nihilist, I think it could actually be as good a champion. Like, it could get big really fast.
Maybe.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's true.
You got a lot of cheap spells.
I was like, you know, I'm bad at evaluating shit like that until I actually play with it. So I'll take your word for it. It seems right, but.
The biggest problem right now is, like, I was reading Sam Black's article on, you know, the current state of standard, and there is so little removal at, good removal at instant speed that it's tough, man. It's like you almost play just go bigger, you know, like, or go faster, and there isn't another strategy. Like Ultimate Price doesn't cut the mustard. Dreadbores, man, I went from 4 to 3 to 2 to almost, I guess I'm just going to take it out because it's just useless. It's fucking useless. Like, okay, yeah, you just drew 8 cards. I'm going to kill yours again at Prime Speaker. Oh, well, you drew 8 cards.
Go me.
That fucking suck, right? Like, oh, you got the ghost cancel out. Well, I guess I won't kill it because it's never here when I'm about to play it. So, oh, man. But one card that I did like, though, is Pit Fight. I think that's interesting. I think that's a
you
good.
You didn't like it?
Well, no, I do like it. I haven't.
Oh, you did like it. Okay.
Yeah, like it's instant speed. It seems like in the right Gruul deck, you're always going to have a bigger creature. It's just I don't like it being two. I wish it was one mana, and I haven't play tested it enough. It probably isn't as good as I think. It's probably like equal to ultimate price where, in occasional situations, it's probably going to do well, but most of the time, it might not. So
it just seems like, you know, Prey Upon was used quite a bit, you know, in different applications, and it's just I mean, it's one more, I think.
But it's
like,
instant speed.
It's instant speed, and that changes, like, a lot about the card. So I was like, I think it's situational, but it's definitely a good card.
I mean, I have to agree, though, with Hellrider. Man, I think Hellrider probably...
Hellrider's fucking awesome, man. Especially, like, we've been talking about it. Like, it's a creature-based format. And depending on how far you want to go with that, you know, you're going to have, you know, less creatures. Certain decks are going to have less creatures. It is what it is. You know, depending on your archetype and what you're doing. But, like... it is a creature-based format, so you're going to have creatures no matter what. And Hellrider just capitalizes on that, man. Hellrider is such a bitchin' fucking card.
Yeah.
It's in a spot right now where it just fucking – it does so much. Like, nobody's playing decks with no creatures. Like,
well, no, it's true.
Because,
I don't know.
Because like you said last episode, it's gotten to the point, like, Wizards has just started putting all the spells on creatures. And
yeah,
so,
well, they are, man.
Like, which they are. And so, like, you know, if you want to have, you know, if you want to have any of these good spells, well, they kind of have a creature attached to them. And Hellrider capitalizes on that. Like, it's just all across the board. Hellrider, like, if you're playing red and you're not playing Hellrider, like, you're doing something wrong. It's an awesome fucking card.
Oh, and anyone that's playing Gruul Colors, man, and not playing Huntmaster, you're a fool. That card is bonkers. I mean, it went from, like, kind of getting outclassed when we were playing, you know, the Thrag Tesmeres, and maybe that was correct. But, dude, that card is so good.
I don't know. Oh, hey, what do you think of Huntmaster in that fucking Cider list? It's not there.
Yeah, but it's well, 4 minutes. You got what are you going to take out? Like, I don't know. It's basically like a super fast deck, but do I want Huntmaster over Hellrider? No, I probably want Hellrider. Maybe you want... I probably, instead of Hellrider in the board, I'd probably want 3 Olivia Voldarens, right? To deal with heavier power decks.
Dude, 4 is so fucking, like you were saying, 4 is just so congested with awesome creatures. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, and all the way across, like, 4 is the spot right now.
Yeah, and look at Falcon Wrath Aristocrat. Like, there's so much shit that you're like, well, I fucking don't know what to play no more.
What the fuck do I do with 4?
I'm like, come on, Wizard, start pushing 3. We need better 3 drops.
But yeah, push some 3s because we have got 4 drops growing out of our
ass. Yeah. I mean, it's funny enough, we got decent 1 drops. 2 drops are still, I mean, yeah, it's 3 drop is the one that sucks. Like, that needs to be worked on next year. There we go, Wizards.
Yeah, work on 3s.
Get on it, man. So that's very interesting. Some of the stuff that people have been asking me, they're like, where do you get all your financial advice, Matt? And I'm like, well, Ferret probably is my number one source. But I do subscribe to MTG Goldfish, which is a free site. And they have an awesome new My Collection tab where you can basically go through their list, add 50 cards to it, and track them. So I've been doing it this week. And wow, is it fucking awesome to be able to sort cards like by price, tickets, daily ticket increase. It's been very interesting watching things. So I'll give you my recap of some interesting stuff that I've noticed. Detention Sphere, dude, that thing was $1.25 or like a week ago. It's down to 64 cents. And it's dropping fast. I don't know why. I mean, I'm trying to think of like what recently has occurred. I don't know. Maybe it's the reanimate strategies. But that card just... sucking ass. Rock's Faith Mender, again, I guess it spiked up for a little bit. Now it's back to $1.48. I still think it's an interesting card built around the right thing. You never know. I still don't know how Loxton Smiter is only 94 cents.
Dude, that card is bad.
Dude, that card's not bad. It's good.
I meant that in the best way possible.
Oh, you meant bad. Yeah, it is bad.
No, I like that card. Like, I happen to, like, I opened two of them At my Return to Ravnica pre-release, I opened one in my fucking in my box, and then I don't know if the other one was from like I bought a second box or if it was from like the packs I won. Yeah. Because I actually won packs, a lot of packs with Return to Ravnica pre-release, as opposed to the Gatecrash pre-release, where I just sucked on dicks the whole day. But I opened two of them then, and I've opened one since then. And so I've got, like, you know, when we play fucking our casual fucking modern, just our format here in the house, like with my buddies, which, by the way, I have decided to call Michael Bolton because I came up with this fucking.
Oh my god!
It's casual and modern, which makes me think like contemporary casual or.
Oh my god, contemporary casual! It's Kenny G Magic, man.
Yeah, exactly. Which is basically, I tweeted this at one point. I was like, you know, modern casual equals contemporary casual equals JCPenney. equals we're the JCPenney of the Magic.
Oh, that's awesome.
It just makes me feel of like Michael Bolton or Kenny G. So Michael Bolton is the format we play here in the house. and basically, like, I have, you know, a lot of times we'll end up playing, you know, we'll play EDH, we'll play, you know, all sorts of different plane chase, random different shit. But like what we end up doing more often than not, which I'm trying to kind of steer us away from, is we'll just play our normal fucking decks in multiplayer, and it sucks for me. Always sucks balls for me. Because you know I'm a very fucking aggro player, and that completely changes everything when I've got to kill three people, not one.
Well, you gotta get used to those new formats, man.
What it is it's just like, you know, that's what these decks are, you know, my zombies deck. I actually have my modern deck finally fucking fully built now in paper, like my modern burn nice. Deck. Well, the only thing it's missing are the fucking fetch lands that are on their way here from fucking Mike Marsala. But I've got the whole thing built in paper. But that doesn't do a goddamn thing when you're playing multiplayer. Like, count backwards, yep. 20. Like, maybe, just maybe, I might be able to, like, if I draw right, I might be able to just blow through three people. Because that deck has enough gas in it.
Three people, dude. I don't think so.
No, it's got enough cards, but like literally, they would have to just leave me alone the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they just have to be like, oh well, he keeps hitting us for all this damage, but we'll just leave him alone. Like the math is there. Like I could.
They're trying to combo off on you.
But yeah, it's like it just doesn't fucking it doesn't work. And you know, I got red black zombies like in paper. That doesn't do a whole lot of good against fucking multiplayer either. Like it, you know, I'm Vexing Devil, Gravecrawler. Like somebody kills the Gravecrawler and then they decide who's gonna take the four damage. Like it just for Vexing Devil, it's like it's not that big of a deal. I can't do shit. So I've got a few decks that aren't really, you know, they're casual decks. You know, I've got I've got a green, white, black tokens deck that's fucking, you know, basically just like Selesnya shit, like Selesnya theme stuff, you know, Sorin, stuff like that. And I've got a, like my version almost of like the Slippery Boggle deck, but it's just green, white, and it's basically a bunch of or. It's like the Earl EDH deck, but no red.
You know what you need? You need a set of Guild War decks.
I know! We need it so bad!
I'm telling you. Dude. Well,
but that's the thing, like, I do, and I think we'd have a blast with that, because we actually just, you know, I know we've talked about this before, but I just bought the Golgari versus Izzet, like, dual decks, and just those, I mean, and those aren't even all, like, Return to Ravnica or anything, they're not, the, like, the full guilds, it's just fucking kind of Golgari versus kind of Izzet, but, like, Daniel and I just playing those against each other, that was a lot of fun. We've kind of gotten away from it, because, you know, we got bored with it, and we're doing other shit, but, like, I think what it comes down to is that, like, we either play, like, you know, we've been playing multiplayer, which I want to kind of get away from. I'd rather just play two on two, and then winners play winners, losers play losers, shit like that.
Yeah, I love that. That's the way that's the way we play here. I love it.
Fun that way. Like, that's the way we started playing Booze Cube. And so I'm like, well, Anti-League. And then I was like, well, why don't we just fucking start playing our normal games that way?
Yeah.
But, Anti-League and Booze Cube, it just takes up fucking all of our time.
Exactly. I mean, I like Commander. It's cool. But the only problem is the Commander games that I've been involved in have either been atrocities from hell of, like, I can't play 3-hour games. Because I just don't, I want to kill myself. Yeah, people won't let me die. Or it's over so fast that I was like, well, I got 4 cards down. What the fuck happens? So there's, it's a little weird. But I really like the faster competitive games where it's like, hey, you play a best of 3. Now you move on to this guy.
Right.
And, that's fun, man. When you don't have to worry about a metagame and you're like, hey, just give me a deck. So right. I don't know, like.
The thing is that this is the only part where it gets kind of weird. I mean, there's always gonna, you know, there's a competitive edge to this game, you know, no matter what.
Of course.
Casual, you're having fun. You're still playing to win. Like, you're not putting together a deck and spending money on your deck so you can lose. Like, you're still playing to win. Now, inherently, what comes with that is, like, when you're playing against the same, you know, each of the people that comes and plays in my play group and we all, you know, get down and have some fun, they all have, you know, 3 or 4 decks, just like I do, that are built in paper that I normally use. You can, it's very easy to metagame against your friend that always comes over and plays the same deck. You know that game, that deck inside out. It's not like the metagame at a tournament where it's like, well, this is what's going on right now in standard, you know, or this is what's going on in modern. This is what people are playing. This is what I got to watch out for. I'm going to have to lose some of these games because I can't fucking 15 cards is not going to be able to metagame against everything. But like, you know, here it's like, well, shit, you know, Daniel's just like, man, Leyline of Sanctity is fucking expensive, but I might have to just get some of those. Then you're fucked. Like, plain, you're not going to be able to do shit. I'm like, man, that sucks. That's no fun. You know, and I even, I was like, but in all fairness, because he's just like, because he's got this Grixis deck that he's doing. He's just like, ah, oh, man, I put Leyline of Sanctity in it and do that whole thing you were talking about where I just mull till I find it, put it, you can't do anything. And yeah. I was just, you know, and I got from Nina last cast, I was just like, Circle of Protection Red. There you go. Just do that instead. It's fucking 10 cents. Go at it. But actually, now that I think about it, Circle Protection Red, I'm pretty sure he's got to fucking be playing white to use it. So
yeah, you might want to check that again there.
He might have to just go with Leyline, because at least with Leyline, he can mull and then just put it on the board. Whereas fucking
everyone over.
Like, he can't use it if he doesn't have white in the deck. So
yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Some other cards that I've been watching, of course, Huntmaster, man, that thing is back up again, $30. That's something to watch. Kevy's fucking Jace Memory of Debt that he's speculating on large in paper over there. That card is $14, man. It's still going. Hellrider's going through the roof, $12.50. That card's gonna go up, and of course, based on last week's events, Angel Glory's Rise. It's only $1.68 right now online, but it's 137% up. So it is, it was like 10 fucking cents, man, I bought it for.
Dirt.
Yeah, and Primal Surge, I don't know if Travis is brewing with this or something, but that card's 323, going up, man. Funny enough. Gravecrawler's coming back too for some reason. Aggro. Yeah, exactly.
Because when you put a Rancor on it, it just keeps coming back, and I love it. Yeah. That's the only thing I'm doing in standard is dicking with that, like, Jun fucking.
Like, I still like Jun colors in standard. I think you're on the right track. I would totally.
Crawler with Rancor. Like, just build your deck around that.
Dude, you know what's hilarious? The more I play with Rancor, the more I realize that card is just fucking dumb. Like, that card, there's a reason why everyone was like, oh my god, Rancor's coming back. But everyone's like, just kind of forgets about it. The card is so good, dude.
It just keeps coming back, man. Like,
so good.
One fucking green, put it on and go. And then, like, the creature dies, who gives a shit? It comes back. Like,
there's, like, no counter magic anymore. It's, like, awesome. Yeah. I can't remember the last time someone actually counterspelled me. I think someone dissipated me. And I was like, what the fuck?
What the hell is that card for?
Yeah, I'm like, don't make me put Cavern of Souls back in this fucking deck.
Yeah.
God. I don't. Cavern sucks, man. I don't like it. But if I have to, I shall. Mm. Funny, some cards that are going down, though. We all called Sphinx's Revelation was going to go down. It's still $21, but it's on a downward trend. Stormkirk Noble for some reason is on a downward trend, yet it's doing He's kicking fucking ass. I don't know. That card seems great against human strategies, which there are a lot of. I don't know. I'd watch that one. I still can't believe Garrick the Relentless is not being played more. The card seems fucking great. And actually, I gotta put them.
Garrick's good.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna put him back in my Naya deck. Cause although you know what, we were saying that at four mana, what you can do. Yeah, that's probably why he sucks. Cause there's so many things to do there.
Yeah, everything's at four.
Yeah. Why isn't he three mana, man? And good old Angel Serenity, man. That thing was like an all-star way back in November. That was like $20 and it is now $11. So that's, it's coming down. Deathrite Shaman. That card, if you look at its graph on Goldfish, it is a clear up. It's just a straight clear upward trend. It's taking its time.
I don't think it's going to go down.
Period. No, it might dip a little bit, but I think like, it is basically gaining a dollar a month. That's what it's doing.
Well, the thing is, like, it's gradually, you know, it's going up, it's going up, it's going up. And then, like, you know, like you have said before, like, there, you know, at some point, it's not going to be drafted anymore.
Yeah, and that point is coming, like, in a couple of weeks, people. So.
Yeah. I mean, if people can still draft it. They can go back and play Return of Ravnica drafts, but it's not going to be drafted nearly as often.
Exactly.
Because they're going to be doing everything else. And then, like, at some point, it's going to stop being fucking draftable, period. You know, just like now. Like, recently I was looking, I was like, I want to play a draft, but I'm fucking sick of Return of Ravnica. So I want to go back and I want to do some fucking Innistrad Dark Ascension drafts. And the only ones offered are, like, the 4-3-2-2 ones. Like, it's not, like, a big, you know, there's, like, three different fucking Swiss and 8-2 or whatever. Like, it's just one, that's it. And nobody's fucking playing it. And so it's going to get to that point where, like, Return around because it's going to be the same thing. You know, after it's back a couple sets, it's going to be, you know, it'll be there. You can draft it, but it's rarely going to be drafted. And then all of a sudden it's not going to be drafted at all. And the whole time, like, this card is still just fucking going up because it's so fucking good.
Just think about this. Just think about this. We have no idea what Dragon's Maze is going to do, right? So what happens if Dragon Maze comes out and there's some kind of fucking messed up strategy where you can start pinging lands out of graveyards or something? Like, that's where I think, even if that doesn't happen, Deathrite Shaman is just, it's like the best modern card, like, you can play right now. It's in all the other formats. Maybe I've heard rumors, funny enough, about, Zendikar block, or not the Zendikar fetches. Coming back in M14, which I don't think is going to happen, but it'd be awesome. And if it did, we would definitely be
fucking sick.
Yeah, I don't think it's good. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, a lot of people are saying, "Well, 20th anniversary, they're pushing modern." Yeah, that's great. Perfect mana in standard and modern. Yeah, cheap lands.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds too good to be true. And frankly, I think it would
turn. I think that, like, as effective as those fetches are, I think they're going to let him go away for a while. Like, it might be the next set after that before they bring him back.
Yeah, I mean, they don't want perfect mana in standard, what they don't want is they don't want the modern mana base in standard, because then it's the same format, right?
Like, right, exactly.
It lets you play whatever the fuck you want.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking, like, and we already have. Like,
we have pretty good mana.
Yeah, with the shocks, like, we have really good mana. And, like, the shocks aren't going to rotate out of standard till, what, M15?
Yeah, it's the M15-14 bridge.
Yeah, so that won't, like, these shocks aren't going to rotate out. And these shocks make it so fucking easy, like, you know, mana-wise. Like, they just make it fucking cake. If you were to, in the same standard, bring in fucking fetches, no.
Well, I would love it, man. I would love it because, goddamn, I love playing Zendikar block. I love fetches.
It would be great, but, like, if they're gonna put fucking fetches and shocks in standard, then they might as well, you know, like you said, it's going to be modern. They might as well just fucking start printing lands that are just all, you know, it's just a basic
print the
land.
Fucking duels. Just print the duels. Come on with it.
Just. You know, oh fuck, you go one step further. Just print a basic land that taps for any color.
There you go. No, well, just be, what I said is print dual lands, but just have them draw you a card when they enter the battlefield. There you go. It's a perfect, it'll be better than dual lands.
Imagine how terrible Magic would turn into.
Oh my god, it would be sick.
Straight dual lands that fucking, like, let you draw a card too. You might as well hook a lightning bolt to it too. Like,
yeah, why not?
Draw a card, do 3 damage, tap for red or blue.
Yeah, and it turns into a creature and attacks, and with haste. But I was having a debate with one of my buddies about cards, and he's new to the game, and he's like, why are you guys always complaining about mana bases, and what's the difference, and why aren't these lands legal? And I was like, man, it's long.
I understand that. Like, that's something I've recently, like...
It's hard to understand as a new player. Like,
right. It isn't until you really get into it where you understand, like, the very fine... Like the fine difference between, like, you know, turn one and turn two, or turn two and turn three, or what you can do on turn one versus turn two, or like all those things, like, they're very relevant. Like, you know, I didn't understand that up until recently. Like, maybe Modern helped me with that. Maybe it was just, you know, learning more and playing more and getting to be a little bit better of a player. It just realizing, like, how much this game really just comes down to the math and who can do it faster. And although, you know, you look at, like, the gates. Oh, sweet. It's fucking dual land. You know, and they're dirt cheap. Well, the reason that fucking, you know, the reason those are fucking don't cost anything and the reason that, like, good fucking, you know, like, the difference between that and, like, the original dual lands, that fucking... that turn, like, and no downside to it. Like, that's what makes a huge difference. That's what is a fucking, you know, $50 difference or whatever, like, in
50,
in,
it's in, hundreds of dollars,
hundreds of dollars difference. Yeah. Like, what you can actually do, like, because when you take it out of context, when you don't look at, like, oh, this card does the same thing as this card, except for one fucking turn, big deal. But, well, you know, you can only play one land a turn. And what somebody can accomplish...
it's the game you're playing, right? Like, my friend is new to the game, and he plays casual. So right. I don't try to kill him on turn four. I try to make the game last a little longer. So he's great. He didn't notice, right? But I'm like, if I play competitively against you, you will just be dead every time. And he was like, no way. I'm like, do you want to try? So we played 5 games, and I smashed him every game. And I could see he was getting upset, and I'm like, here's the thing. I go, when I first got into the game, I played against a red deck wins game, or deck, and it was very frustrating because I was like, wow, you're not letting me get to my cast my Mahanamotai Jins, and I'm like, what's going on? And the guy's like, yeah, because your deck is shit, and I'm gonna, and, you know, you're not understanding. So it was a brutal lesson to teach him, but I think he understands that we can play casually and fun, and I do love those games. I like just chilling and relaxing. I'm just having fun, man. It's about some cool interactions, and it's not about, you know, smashing everyone into the ground. But I also do like to smash people into the ground. So when I want to play...
Oh, yeah, it's a whole different story.
Right. But when you want to play competitive, you know, like, I get times when I'm like, I want to play competitive standard, and I don't want to play a casual person because I want to play for keeps now. But then, you know, there's times when I'm like, yeah, I'm chill. Like, we can just fuck around. So... I was like,
I get that a lot with, I totally understand. Yeah. I get that a lot with, like with Daniel, for instance. You know, Daniel loves Magic. Daniel loves playing, but, you know, he doesn't have a ton of money to spend on cards. So he's not going to, like, build fucking serious, like, you know, and he's very smart. He knows the game very well, but, like, he's not going to fucking, you know, spend a bunch of money on fucking the cards to build a fucking standard deck and then have it rotate out and then have him, you know, have to spend a bunch of money on other cards to do this. Like, he's not that far into it. So he'd rather just build some, like, fun decks that have, like, a theme to them and, you know, and kind of, you know, the earlier days of me playing Magic, you know, like, he's got his Angels deck and his Illusion deck. Like, everything in his Angels, it's a mono white Angels deck, and they're all these different Angels from all over fucking Magic. You know, like, all over these different sets that, you know, it's fun. It has synergy. It's fun to play, you know, and it's just us casually fucking playing. And, you know, like, my zombies deck that I had built that, like, was, you know, cost me a fucking bit. It, you know, because it was fucking a standard fucking – a good fucking standard deck. I built that thing, and I could – you know, I'm not doing shit to him. You know, he's just like, oh, Angelic Wall. I'm like, oh, fuck. Well, sweet. And then he, you know, he buys him a few turns, and then all of a sudden he's just dropping retarded angels that, you know, are doing all sorts of different shit. I can't do a goddamn thing about it. Now, you know, if – it'd be a whole different story if this were fucking standard, or if I were to build my fucking zombies right. deck, you know, by the same stipulation. So there's a huge difference between, you know, or like my burn deck, for instance. You know, I just built my fucking modern burn deck, and he's just like, oh man, dude, that sucks. Like, I don't have any decks that are going to be able to even do anything to that.
Right. Like, well,
and so, like, playing with him, you know, or playing, you know, our casual fucking circle, like, yeah, you kind of want to build – it's a whole set of – different set of rules. You want to build decks that are going to be fun to play. You have some – you know, have good times, and it kind of keeps it balanced.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is I like, for the longest time, I had, like, about 30 decks built, like, of all the cards, and I just keep them in a box, and, like, when people come over, we play. But I built the decks more, like, as single things. So, yeah, if someone picked the red – burn deck, they'd slaughter anyone they played against. And then they'd criticize my deck building, and I was like, well, hold on, that deck is obviously can't be played with this deck. And then I realized that it's actually very hard to, with a limited collection, to build a bunch of varied decks because they're not balanced, right? So you can't make a legacy kind of deck that's, you know, it's going to destroy any type of whatever angels, whatever kind of weird ass deck you build. Right. And it's funny that when I got to Guild Wars, I'm like, well, there you go. And what I want to do now is I'm taking Guild Wars to another block.
The and I'm next gonna, level.
Yeah, well, I got an idea. Because as soon as I think Gatecrash legal? Or is it out yet? Can you buy boxes yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I'll buy a box on the weekend, and I'll see if I can crack it to build my other Guild War decks. But once that's done, I'm going to go back and see, because I got a lot of the Innistrad cards. I'm going to see if I can build some Innistrad guilds, like zombies, vampires, humans, and just to throw them in, too, because if you're dealing with a very limited pool, it takes away all that variance. So if you and your friends, you say, hey, man, let's just make Guild War decks of a block, and you say, hey, pick a block, Scars or Zendikar or whatever block you want, and you're like, you can only put cards that are in that thing, so it's kind of like a block standard deck. And it's actually, it's so much fun. I'm like, I love it because it's.
Well, yeah, especially with, like you said, with like Innistrad Dark Ascension and, well, you know, that whole block, the Innistrad block, like you know, that's not guilds. Like you could do, you know, your creature type. Like,
yeah.
You know, you could do werewolves, devils. You could do zombies, you could do humans, you could do devils. Like, you know, you could do that and build different fucking decks off of that too. So.
Well, I'll let you know. I'm going to try and do it when I have some time. And I think it's actually going to work out pretty well because I believe if you're smart the way you put it together, I think most of the tribes are balanced. Humans might be a little too powerful and zombies.
I don't know. Like, that's the only thing I could see being an issue with the Innistrad block if you were doing, like, your creature type fucking your zombies versus werewolves versus humans kind of thing. I think humans are just going to keep coming out on top. We've talked about that. That's where, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are good fucking cards. Like, you know, Gravecrawler and fucking Drawl's Messenger are going to be in that zombies deck. But, like, that's about the time where humans really started to become this subtype that was, like, way overpowered. Like, there's everything for humans. You know, like you're talking about the dagger, the fucking butcher's cleaver, all of these humans. You know, there's, I would think in that block set that you make, like, your fucking Tribe Wars fucking set. Like,
yeah, well,
I think whoever gets the fucking humans deck is going to just smash face all over everybody.
Well, you know, the thing that I realized very quickly is you need to put more removal than you think. So the problem is in this tribal deck, because I've already been patterning it out, and I'm like, well, what happens when you get, like, the protection from zombie versus the protection from human bouncing off each other thing? And that's where you're like, you know, you better make sure you got 6 or 8 slots of removal in every deck so that, you know, the games
so that
are...
you can get to that and get rid of that fucking protection from...
Exactly. Right, so get shit out of there. And even if I have to throw in some Doomblades or some other cards from another set, just to put the removal in to make the actual games fun. Yeah, like, that's what I've been doing. Because I'll tell you, when I play Paper Magic, I literally, I don't want to play anything, but I'll draft. Like, I love drafting if the set is new, and I love playing, like, just Guild War kind of decks with my friends. Like, it's so much more fun, I find. And everyone seems to love it, because now there's no stress on them to be like, oh my god, I gotta build a fucking, $1,000 deck.
Right.
You know, and they're like, you know, how am I gonna hide that from the wife? I'm like, you're not, dude.
It's not gonna happen.
You're not hiding that, motherfucker.
You're gonna have to come up with an explanation is what you're gonna have to do.
Yeah. But I'm like, hey, just, you know, come over, grab a deck, we're good to go. Like, I'll front the cost of it, whatever. But even if you had to build it, I think you could do it very cheaply.
Well, and it's worth it, though. Like, front the cost of that, like, it's totally worth it to, have that fun.
Yeah, to me, it's basically like, okay, so if I bought a bunch of board games, or I bought a PS4 or PS3 or whatever the fuck it is, you know, that's what I bought. Because when people come over, it's what you play. So
what did you play with? Yeah.
And my kids love it too. So I'm like, there you go, man. They
that
love
works.
Fucking
no, I totally get that. You know, I do that shit like Daniel. You know, like it. You know, he's not. It's not like the guy's poor or anything. But he's just like, you know, I don't have the money to spend. Like, I don't want to go out and buy fucking $25 fucking a piece cards.
Oh, dude,
to play Magic sitting here like that. So, like, you know, and I, you know, I'm a little bit more like, yeah, I don't give a shit, especially when I'm drinking. You know, it's like, you know, he's a very, very fucking. He is a blue mage. Fucking down.
He's a blue mage, yeah.
And like, you know, he's talked forever about, like, you know, man, I wish Geist wasn't so fucking expensive. Because, I mean, Geist is expensive because it's fucking, you know, it's a staple. Like, it was one of those fucking standard staples. Like, it's an expensive card. It's a good card. But, you know, when you're talking fucking living room casual, you don't want to pay that kind of, you know, you don't want to pay fucking $100 for a place at a fucking Geist just to be able to play against your buddy, you know? Yep. And so it's like, you know, well, but we've also gotten to the point, like, we tried the proxy thing. You know, we're like, oh, man, I don't feel like paying that much money for a card. I'm going to proxy this in. But then it got kind of weird because it was like, well, we could just proxy whatever the fuck we want to.
Yeah, well, you can't. Exactly.
It's on a card. And so, like, you know, we're like, okay, well, we'll do away with, like, we can't use fucking proxies in our decks. So, you know, we'll just build what we can afford, and we can have fun with it. But, you know, that, for instance, like, he's always, you know, like, oh, man, I wish I could play with Geist, and fucking Snapcasters are so fucking expensive. And, like, I think he ended up with a Snapcaster. And, like, at one point, like, pulling it out of a pack, or maybe he traded something that he pulled for it. So I, like, for Christmas, I gave him fucking, I bought him a Geist and a Snapcast. Nice. And I gave him fucking, I think I gave him my Snapcaster that I had. Because I have one that I pulled out of a pack, but I don't play blue. I don't need it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm like, you know, here, fucking, it's worth more to me, like, you
know,
yeah.
Have a good game.
Yeah, exactly. To have fun with it. Like, you know, the only paper I ever really play is with him, you know, or with, well, him and Josh and Rob now. So it's like, you know you would like to fucking play with these cards, and I completely understand you're not as competitive about this whole thing as I am. You're not playing competitively, you know, so why would you want to go spend that kind of money on fucking, you know, four pieces of cardboard? So it's like, fuck it, here, you know what, I would rather fucking spend the money and fuck it. So I bought him a Geist and I bought him a fucking Snapcaster to go with the other Snapcaster I gave him and the one that he had, so that he could, you know, actually start putting together a fucking deck with him and have fun playing it, and I would have something fun to fucking play against. And it's much more worth it to me to do that, just like you were saying, with fronting the cost for your Tribal Wars decks or for your Guild Wars decks, so that, you know, your buddies can come over and just pick up a deck and play, you know, rather than just be like, oh, well, bring what you got, bro.
Oh, yeah. Every time I've tried that, though, it turns into a fucking complete disaster. Like, the only other thing I'm trying to build right now, like, for paper, is I'm trying to build my cube, because I love drafting cube online. It was so much fun that I'm like, man, and I could care less how many proxies go in that fucking thing, because there's no way I'm paying real prices for those.
Dude, cards. I'll tell you what, I built a cube once, and, like, the only time I ever, like, had any interest in building a cube was before I really knew what cube was all about. Like, all I knew was, like, cube was basically, you know, a form of drafting. And rather than us spending money on fucking drafts, or, you know, on buying packs so that, you know, we could draft at the house, I was like, well, fuck it, I got all these fucking packs that I opened for no good reason.
So you just throw them in a box.
Yeah, threw them all in a box. I, you know, was like, I got some rares in here. You know, I think I went through and figured, this is long before, like, I knew anything before I knew what, like, cubes were about and, like, actually, you know, having archetypes in them and shit like that. I was like, it's basically a draft cube is all it is. It's like an Innistrad Dark Ascension draft cube. It was, I went through and I figured how many cards were in there and about how many rares should be in there and about how many fucking, uncommons should be in there, and then all the other all the bullshit that I had pulled out of packs, threw them in a box, and I'm like, yeah, we got a cube. And we started drafting out of that, and we're like, my god, this is not fun at all. Like, this is terrible. Because all it is normal fucking drafting with cards you've already seen before, and that, like, they're all my cards, so it doesn't really matter. Like, part of the fun of drafting is you're just like, well, shit, not only am I drafting, but I bought these three packs, and if I come up with something expensive, like, fucking cool.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it basically it's just a bunch of shit comments from Innistrad trying to put a deck together. Yeah, that didn't last long.
Well, it's funny. Speaking of proxies, moving on, we'll give out an... Well, we'll give out an announcement. So, our good buddy... Proxy guy, as you know, he just does some fucking amazing ass work, and he always is blowing us away. So our rule here as Heavy Meta is, you know, we only want to be working and dealing with people who are of the quality that we want to aim for, and he is. So he approached us, and he said, guys, you know, it seems there's a lot of people asking for your tokens, and you guys aren't getting on that. We're like, well, we're fucking busy and we drink a little too much and you know, we have full-time jobs and shit.
It's hard to print tokens in a case.
It's true, right? Like, we're on the run and shit. So he said, he goes, I'll tell you what, why don't we do something? And I'm like, I'm listening. So I'm proud to announce the Proxy Guy is the official source for Heavy Meta tokens. If you need them, hit the man up. He can hook you up with a standard version, a premium version, a spinner version. I don't know. He'll fucking put anything you want on that thing, and he'll hook you up. So there's some other plans in the work that I won't completely let the cat out of the bag now.
Yeah, you gotta let that. There are some plans definitely in the works, but we aren't gonna release.
No, we're not letting the cat out of the bag yet. But there's some other cool shit happening. Of course, me and Kevin are still gonna try to make some, you know, a 5,000 card run or something we can bring to Vegas and, you know, hang out there or something.
Like, we're gonna do, you know, our, like, just the standard fucking runoff fucking tokens that are basically, you know, a business card for us. and not even a business card, just feeding our egos.
Yeah, there you go.
It's nice to have a stack of cards that all have a picture of you on them.
I just want a stack of Maddie's next to my desk.
You got a stack of Maddie's, like, I'll just spread the stack of Kevies all over the floor. I will be considerate, Maddie, and I will not put a single Maddie token in this. But
you
I will just put all Kevy tokens all over the floor and just roll around in them naked.
You could put one.
We're just put one Maddie in there.
You see where it ends up on you. Like, oh shit, right to the ass every time.
Just random tweet. I'm all, Maddie, you're stuck in my nipple. No, but, like, you know, we're going to get some just mass produced fucking, you know, plain ass fucking tokens. But the proxy guy, I know, like, a lot of you guys have been asking about, like, the spinner tokens and the foil tokens and stuff like that. And, you know, it is what it is. We love you guys, but fuck you guys.
we love you, but we can't spend that kind of money.
Yeah, we cannot afford to fucking mass produce foil spinner fucking tokens and then just give them out to you guys.
We're not there yet.
So, like, if you guys do, like, if you want those, if you want foils, foil heavy meta tokens, if you want spinner tokens, premium tokens, it don't cost much, but we just can't afford to mass produce them. So hit up at the proxy guy, and he, you know, he has our blessing and our huge fucking shout out for everything he's done. I don't know if you guys have looked at the new version of the spinner tokens that I posted on Twitter, but now they go up to 8, and Proxy Guy has promised me that he could get him to up to 11 at some point.
So awesome.
Because you got to turn it up to 11. he's got a better design on him. He's got little knobbies on the side of the fucking the spinners so that it's easier to work. And, oh, man, they're fucking amazing. But if you guys want them, hit up the proxy guy. He is our fucking official vessel for those premium tokens. So, you know, hopefully.
And you never know how many other tokens. You never know.
How many other tokens might be showing up here in the near future.
We don't know.
I think the cat is trying to get out of the bag, but we won't let it.
No, get back in there, fucking cat.
So yeah, the tokens, man.
Yeah, it's coming.
Next subject.
Well, I mean, we're approaching our 2 hours, so if we want to, we can probably wrap up and hit some shout-outs here.
Shout-outs?
I'll hit some shout-outs. I have an anti-shout-out first. Stop raising the fucking prices. That's my anti-shout-out to Wizards. Stop that shit. Pay the fucking pros more and stop raising the fucking prices for redemption. Stop raising the prices all over the place, man. It's just stupid, bad business. I have a shout-out for anyone who's trying to improve the game. Anybody, like I can't remember the guy's name, but on Twitter, I saw he was a comic store owner, card shop owner, and he gave a kid a bunch of commons that he had lying around. Kid wrote him a nice little letter the next day. You know, that's awesome, man. I mean, anyone that's doing that type of shit, I applaud you. You let me know, and I will try to remember you for a shout out. So,
you actually brought that up, interrupting shout outs.
Yeah.
You brought that up on like one of your fucking tweets today about just this community. Like it.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. Stop it.
What drives it.
Yeah. So the story of the headset, busted the headset, and I was like, fuck, man, I got to run around. So I had a giant ordeal running around store after store trying to find the headset I wanted. And, you know, Nina jumps on. She's like, I have one of my guys get it. Tell me what you want. And I'm like, what? Like,
Nina's got guys. Like, Nina's got peoples. Like,
Nina has a fucking crew.
I'll have my people get a hold of this shit. Don't worry about it.
Like, I mean, I'm just blown away. Like I said, I mean, you know, me and Kevy go through a great deal financially, whatever we do, just our time. We just want to do the show and get back to you guys. So when I see, like, fellow cast, you know, members or teammates or whatever you want to call them in the community, like, it's just awesome. I think, you know, my hat's off. My shout out is to all the other casts out there that aren't trying to attack everyone. It's like, hey, we're all here to help each other. And I think it's a great environment. And I mean, I applaud, and I look forward to whatever Nina decides to do. Not that I'm letting any cats out of the bag, but, if she chooses to do anything in the future, she has Heavy Meta's full support behind her, and we'll do anything.
Like, she's contractually obligated. I don't think she paid attention. I think it was on the limo ride over after she drank the green drink. I think she signed the contract, so she doesn't realize, like, there's small print. Like, we can just suck her onto the cast whenever we want to.
Oh, that's true. Well, there are a few people that, unfortunately, if once you're a guest, then we have a veto right.
Own you.
Yeah. Whenever we want, we just say, hey, get over here. Get on the fucking cast.
We're going to need you. Get on.
Speaking of that, Vigable, I'm going to be calling you soon, buddy. You're coming back.
Oh, yes.
I'm bringing him back.
He is coming back. I was actually just thinking about that guy today.
He's coming.
Not in a weird sort of way.
That's okay.
I was thinking about that guy today. I was like, man, it sucks. He's gone from Manor to Pride. We haven't talked to him too much lately. And fuck, I love that guy. He needs to come back on and have some fun.
We are in KYT's cave, so that sometimes it fucks with your brain waves or something. but those are my shout-outs is to the community this week, and my anti-shout-outs is to stop doing bad fucking business moves, Wizards. Oh, that's fucking crazy.
So we can just categorize, like, your shout-outs as, like, Rage Against the Machine. Like, my shout-outs are to the community and all the people and all the fans and all that. And then fuck the system.
Oh, and Trevor Holness, man, shout-out to you.
Yes.
And only you.
He was tweeting us a little bit ago.
Yeah, ooh. That's it. Just one shout over him. No one else.
He got a single alert. Oh, wait, maybe not.
Because anyone who joins or follows Heavy Meta for the first time, Ricard Wallström. Shout out, buddy. He's cool.
Is that the guy you? Oh, no, okay. Is that the guy
Oh, no, that guy? Yeah, hold on. Let me see. The fuck was his name?
We gotta give him one. Fuck it.
Dark Nardi or something like that. You fucker. Okay. So the story was this. So I was playing on MTGO during the week for like, I just jumped on really quick. And this guy is like, hey man, I love the show. I'm like, hey, no problem. He's like, I'd love to join the clan. I'm like, no problem. I'll get on that right now. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, here, hold on. I just got to tweet Heavy Metal. Hey, get on this, man. Hook up this guy, Alan Westbrook, right? Dark Akari or something. He's like, wow, that's cool. He goes, I don't use Twitter, though. I'm like, oh, well, I don't know what I could do. Here, you're kind of – I'll do what I can, but, you know, if you don't on Twitter. So then about 2 seconds later, he's on Twitter, and I'm like, hey.
He joined Twitter.
He's like, I'm on Twitter. I'm like, nice. You get a shout out for that, buddy. That's action.
And he was another one. It sucks. I cannot – like, of course, I'm bad with fucking – unless I'm, like, directly looking at your avatar on Twitter, it's hard for me to remember who you are. Like, one of our God damn it. It's the dude with the Tap and Sack podcast.
Oh, Ginger.
Yeah.
Ginger he's, boy. He's friends with
Friends with that dude in real life. So
yeah. There you go. Hey,
go fucking everybody go to at whatever Maddie said and follow that.
Tap and Sack, man. The Tap and Sack. Tap and Sack.
No, not even Tap and Sack. the guy we were just talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you all have guy. Okay, Ricard Wallstrom, and his Twitter handle is Ricard90. Everyone go. It's Rikard 90.
Not that one. Well, I mean,
fuck. Follow Dark Akari.
Yeah, Dark Akari. That's the one I was talking about. Follow both of them.
Yeah, follow these fuckers. I don't know why, but follow them. Maybe they'll say something interesting.
Maddie, we are drinking. This is awesome.
I know. This is a fucking smash up session, man.
Okay. So, am I taking over the shout-outs now?
I don't...
Is it mine now, or did you give out your last single and only shout-out?
It was meant to be a single and only shout-out. Yeah, I'm out of here. All right, go. I'll interrupt you. Don't worry.
Because you're going to have plenty of opportunity. I got a fucking laundry list.
Oh, shit. All right.
I'm going to continue that shout-out to Nina, because we've, like, just received ridiculous amounts of fucking praise for last episode having Nina on. I told her from the fucking get-go, I was like, you're fine, this is not gonna be a fucking problem. And then she got on, she did an amazing job, you know, not just like all hey, you know, as somebody who's never been on a podcast before, but for fuck's sake, like, she could be a co-host of this podcast and you wouldn't even notice a difference. Like, it would, you know, she fits in very well. She's got a lot of important shit to say. Like, I learn a lot from that girl all the time, and you guys can learn a lot from her too. So fucking follow Nina, because she sometimes she like rants and raves, but I mean, not nearly as much as I do. And if you follow me, then you might as well follow Nina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give one to Slick Jagger. Because at Slick Jagger, or maybe that's just his actual name on the Twitter, and I don't remember what the at part is. But anyway, Slick Jagger, because you're fucking awesome. You're always fucking hitting us up. And for the last, like, 2-3 weeks in a row, like, it's like this guy knows our schedule. I'm, like, afraid he's outside the window of the cave. Because he's just, like, every time we start casting, I get a fucking tweet. And he's just all, happy casting, bros. And I'm like, wait a second. Are you watching me right now? Got to give one to the rock star Jeff Woods, like at Rockstar with spelled all weird and shit. But Jeff Woods, because he's awesome. He's a fucking buddy on Twitter. I know he's buddies with the dudes on the A-Team and stuff. But he hit me up with a fucking modern list that I really want to play if I could afford. And it, like, I forget what the deck list was actually called. But it was like he put like the name of the deck list in the fucking subject on my email was like Kevlar armor. And it's just also like just looking at the list, like the first time he sent it to me, I was just like, oh man, like, is it work? And I was just like, oh yeah. He's like, I got, you know, got this list in modern, you know, check it out, let me know what you think. And I looked at it and I was like, man, I don't even know what half of these cards do. Like, I know what the other half do, and that seems pretty cool, but I don't even know what half these cards do, so I can't make a fucking comment on it. And then, like, he hit me up, like, a day or two later, and he's like, hey, any thoughts on that list? And I was just like, oh, shit, man, I'm sorry, I forgot. So right then and there, I went and looked up the cards that I didn't know what they did, and then looked at the list, and I was like, holy fuck, this is awesome. It's just a dark-ass... like it's just like you can't do shit. It like Liliana's Caress is like it isn't even in the deck, and I was just like, oh man, this needs Liliana's Caress because it's just fucking discard, fucking suck the life out of you. Just a very Liliana feeling deck, and I don't have the deck list pulled up or anything, so I'm not gonna get that far into it. But awesome deck that I really want to build, but like. As I was looking at it, I was like, fuck, I've only got a couple of these cards and some of these important cards in the deck. I do not have the money for right now. This shit's going to get retarded expensive. So I'll get there eventually.
Yeah. Got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Let's see. I got fucking Kibler for telling it how it is.
Yeah.
Give a little fucking Kibler shout out for, you know, saying, hey, ain't all it's cracked up to be. Just play Magic in your house. Fuck it. one to Marcel for fucking handling the Vegas thing. Like, we got our fucking house booked, all that nice. Shit. I know, Maddie, you have your client is taking care of you.
Well, I don't know what's going on yet. I'm still working it out. But the way it is, I'm busy like up until that weekend doing other shit, so I don't know. I'm probably gonna find a sneaky way to get in there that way, and if someone helps me pay for a bit of it there, that's not my problem, right? So
yeah.
I'm working angles here.
You are going to be in Vegas for the weekend,
dude,
right?
If you have to fly my fucking corpse in a fucking box and just undying me, I will be there. Don't worry.
But what I'm saying is, like, you know, you've got a client paying for shit, and you might not be able to stay in the house, but you're going to be in Vegas that weekend, so you're going to be part of it.
Of course, man. Absolutely. Dude, I'm not missing this. This is the one event, dude. It's not going to happen.
But because of your you know, your business stuff that you got going on, your special business. Marcel has taken over the house, the getting the arrangements put together and stuff for the house. And he's done an awesome job of it.
He is a master planner, man. He's awesome.
Dude, it's awesome. We've got, like, apparently fucking that weekend is World Series of Poker and Electric Daisy Carnival. So it's like retarded expensive for fucking hotel rooms, and like the first three houses that we had set up like are gone, and so then he got another one, which fucking thing is bad. It's got a pool, it's got a fucking, it's got flat screens everywhere, it's got a pool table. Fucking there's like 13 fucking beds, and you know, we had to go through and figure out, like, you know, who was staying where and who was paying what for, you know, you want the mess. Excuse me, the master bedroom,
yeah,
the queen bed in it, or do you want the fucking this bedroom that's got a twin bed in it, or do you want the one bedroom that's just got three twin beds in it? Like, you know, but hey, like, I was all dibs on a twin bed in my own room.
Yeah, exactly.
The way the sleep, apparently the way I understand this, the way the sleeping situation is going to work out is the twin or the queen beds are going to go to two people.
Oh, fuck that.
I am not sharing a fucking bed with any of you dirty little bastards. And so, yeah, I've got my own fucking twin bed. I've got my own room, and I hope that, yeah, I hope Marcel didn't put a big deposit down on this place. Cause it's going to get retarded. We're going to have a blast. Let's see. My next shout out. I told you I got a fucking laundry list of this shit.
The fucking longest list I've ever heard you have, man.
This is the first time I haven't waited till shout outs.
Yeah, exactly.
Who can I shout out? I gotta give people some love because I always forget everybody.
Give them love.
Next shout out is to Saito for coming up with that awesome fucking green red aggro fucking frog in a blender list.
Oh my god. You're shouting out fucking Saito now, dude.
Oh, because Saito's awesome. I don't even know what happened with Saito. All I know is that dude got banned for some shit.
Yeah, and for cheating.
Yeah, and that is the kind of guy that I want to fucking
play. Yeah, that's right. That's the kind of guy I want to play with.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy I want to play with, because he's a fucking cheating bastard, and he's a, you know, apparently he was a good Magic player.
But, oh, that's hilarious.
Maybe it was all the cheating. But I came up with an awesome fucking list, and I like it, which brings me into fucking Ruben Alvarado. That's the dude I was talking about earlier.
There it is, yes.
At RU_Unleashed on Twitter. Go fucking follow that guy, because he's awesome.
He is awesome.
He's cool as shit. He's a fucking newer fan of ours. He's been tweeting us up like crazy, talking about deck ideas, and this is what I want to do, and this is what I want to do, and what do you guys think?
He's fucking got good brews, man. I like him.
He's good shit coming up. And then, like, that Saito fucking deck that I posted a picture of, like, not that I posted the deck. I just took Saito's picture and said, I want to build this.
Don't take credit for that deck.
Then he's just like, oh, fuck yeah, dude, that looks badass. I want to build it. And then he went and built it today and took a picture of it, and I was jealous. So huge shout out to that dude, because he's awesome. Got to give one to fucking Tangent and Jeebus, my other podcast, Public Enemies. You guys are fucking awesome. We basically sit around and fuck. I don't know if any of you guys have ever listened to Public Enemies, but it's a whole different story than this cast. It's not me and Maddie being fucking excited about everything. It's me and Jeebus and Tangent sitting around drunk talking.
It's awesome, man.
Not to say it's a fucking bad thing at all, but it's a whole different vibe than this cast. I mean, I still yell a lot, but usually Jeebus just puts me in my place. Or just rambles about shit that doesn't matter. And then Tangent will occasionally pop in and just tell us we're both idiots. And then we giggle, we laugh, we have a good time, and then we move on to the next subject. So if you get a chance, check it out. Public Enemies.
Hell of a sales job, let me tell you, for the cast right there.
Hey, I'm going to be honest with you guys, no matter what.
Well, there you go.
It's on MTG Cast, and it's on mtgbrodeals.com, along with this cast. If you're not getting it for Mana Deprived, you can always get it in the back door.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're still on MTG Cast, aren't we?
We are. But
I don't know what this whole bullshit about banning casts that swear. I guess we're the exception.
Apparently, we just don't swear in the episode title, and we're good. They're actually listening to our casts.
Yeah, they just trust us. Yeah, we're still out there, dude.
You seem like good guys.
Yeah, they like our logo. They're like, yeah, that logo's cool.
Yeah, you do all this graphic design, like you do a banner for each fucking show, and they're just like, this seems like a well-respected cast that actually has their shit together, so let's just not bother them. Well, no, of course I'm not going to actually listen to an episode. That's just silly. Let's just keep letting them do it.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, they never use my episode, my bloody, God, man, you guys gotta put some stuff up, man. Come on, MTG cast.
Mm-hmm.
Although that would make every cast force them to do graphics, which none of them could do, so sorry about that.
Right. That's what we do. Well, that's what you do.
We're premium.
We're premium content, because you get a banner to go with every fucking cast.
Hey, that is premium, man. We are premium content, motherfuckers.
Premium content, that's going to cost you $35 yeah. a month.
Yeah. Actually, if you want to redeem us for actual tokens, we charge you $25. If you ever want to kill us and turn our skin into tokens, you got to pay.
Yeah, you got to pay for it. Fuck, to close it out, all right, I got to give one to fucking Norbs, because we haven't
shot Norbs yet lately? What?
Shouted that dude out in a while. We haven't given Norbs a shout out in a while. Love that guy. He's always got our back, and we haven't been able to play fucking Commander with him in a long time, because we always got other shit going on. And that brings in Durf, old fucking Durfington, for doing
yeah,
all
our. Yeah, we need a Durf and Norbs Commander game.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get one of those going. Oh, and speaking of the last minute shout outs, the A team, of course, got technically destroyed this week. And we were like, oh, man, because I love listening to it on Mondays to start my week. But
it kills me.
shout out to Carrie Dan. Man, don't worry, buddy. It sucks if the technicalities don't work, but nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. You've earned a fucking break, man.
Hey, All I know is me and Kevy have wrecked more casts than we've made. So don't. It happens, man.
It's what I think you listeners don't realize. Like, we do this every night of the week, and then we pick the best one.
We do 7, but 6 fuck up on us.
We want to release the best possible content that we can. And so we do this, you know, 6 to 7 nights a week, and we pick the best one. And sadly, what you guys are hearing now is the best one.
Yeah. Congratulations, everyone.
And my last one is my second last one is to fucking Polish tamales because
oh yes,
dude, it's fucking awesome. He does what he does. He does it really well. And fucking, he hit me up like we were talking about that the sketch he did of me doing up a playmat fucking style shit for me, and that the rock star with the devil girls thing is fucking awesome. I love it. And then he's just all, oh man. It was like, hey, he was tweeting back and forth with me. He's all, Maddie's got you, or you're behind Maddie. How did he put it? It's like, you're behind Maddie in the queue, or like, you and Maddie are in the queue behind, or something like that. And I was just like, huh? I was like, wait, what did I do? Because the way you put it, I was like, you know, there's a saying like being behind the cue ball, like somebody's gunning for you.
The black ball?
Like, yeah, and I was just all, what did I do? And he's just like, oh no, it like completely explained. He's just like, I'm doing up Maddie's fucking crew. And I was just like, oh, I thought you meant like Maddie was gunning for me. And I was like, why am I hearing this from you? I'm like, if Maddie's gunning for me, I'm pretty sure I need to check out my front door.
Like, yeah, watch out, man.
Yeah, fucking Polish tamales. He's doing up some shit. He's doing up some shit for you. He's doing up some shit for me. And his fucking artwork is amazing. I fucking love it.
That dude is amazing.
Yeah. And then my last one, gotta go to Mr. Robot Large.
Oh, yes.
Because Mr. Robot Large is not only like deserving of a shout out on every cast of ours, but he also has got the Popper tournament in the works.
Yeah, when are we going to be dropping? Maybe we should have Robot Large on next week to talk about it. Ooh.
That's not a bad idea because he's got all the details laid out, but he's got scheduling was an issue. Like, we were going to do this a few weeks back, but it was like, oh shit. Well, we've got
Pro Tour Montreal's coming up too.
Well, no, we had didn't we have something up in Montreal a couple weeks back? Or no, it was the pre-release weekend. And I was like, no, we don't want to do it on that weekend. Like, nobody's going to give a shit. Cause it was pre-release weekend. And then it was like, okay, cool. Now we can get down to business. Let's do this. And I was like, well, I'm going to be gone. Like, a band's going to be on the road for the next fucking 3 weekends in a row. So I'm not going to be able to play. He's like, fuck. But we've figured out that we're going to be able to do it on Sunday. Because I'll be able to be back in town and I can play on Sunday because I want to be a part of this. I want to fucking, you know, it wouldn't be a heavy meta fucking Popper tournament if me and you weren't playing. And so we're going to do it on a Sunday.
Nice.
And so he's still trying to nail down the exact date. We've got, KYT and Dr. Jeebus are, talking with him about, prize support and, nice. sponsoring the event. We'll get further details, you know, nailed down, and we'll, you know, I think that's a good idea. I think maybe we should get the fucking robot himself on the fucking cast to talk about it. The amazing fucking tournament organizer, amazing fucking heavy meta fan, amazing fucking individual. I can't call him a human being because he's a fucking robot.
He's a robot, yep.
Yeah, amazing fucking dude. And he's been putting together this fucking tournament. It'll be a fucking Emoto Popper tournament, like player run tournament. And we originally were going to do it, you know, just for funsies, just to have some fucking good times with all of our fucking fans. But now there's going to be some prize support behind it. So,
yeah. And hey, we don't want to rush it. We want to do it right. So be patient and stay tuned, man. It's going to be cool. Lord knows we got to have some kind of fucked up bet for me.
Oh,
yeah. Robot.
Yeah, there's going to be all sorts of fucked up shit going on.
There's going to be side bets and carnival games. I don't know. Something's going to go happen there.
Something's going to catch on fire. That's all there is to it.
Yep. So with that, folks, we are out of here.
And go fuck yourselves, San Diego.
in an Irish fucking accent, eh? Get that fucking leprechaun shit out of here.
Oh, wait, I can always change it over to, I'm Ron Burgundy?
No, you're not. You're Ron Burgundy's beard.
Great Odin's beard.
God damn it, it's Odin's beard. Why did I think it was Burgundy? He has a stash. I fucked that up. Oh, all right, man.